right, Sunday, July 1st, 2007 is when this show is airing, and with me is E on the show. Hello, E.
Hello, Major.
Show number 232.
Wow, no wonder I'm tired.
It's July already.
Yeah, when did that happen?
We are now halfway through 2007.
It just doesn't seem right somehow.
We are halfway through 2007, and we're a week and a half away from the E3 of this year.
Yeah, I somehow lost track of a couple of months. I don't know if I was, you know, in a Halo coma or what, but it can't possibly be July.
Well, it is. Although this, I got to tell you something, I'm really disappointed in the weather in the Northwest. Like, if back east when I was living in Connecticut, July, I mean, I'd have the air conditioning on. I think I've worn shorts to work once this year.
Well, I've worn shorts a few more times than that, but it's been really back and forth. It's been gorgeous, followed by rainy, followed by gorgeous. Yeah. It's not been a normal year.
All right, Xbox news this week. I posted about this on Monday. We have a redesign of Xbox.com.
Yes.
Which your team kind of did some work on it.
We did all the rollout. The .com team did all the design.
So when you do a rollout, does that mean they give you basically an install and you guys have to boot it up on the server and hit next, 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 accept, next, next, next?
If only it was that easy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that, especially when you want to do it without turning the site off in the process.
Right. Let's talk about that, because this is the first time we've done an upgrade like this where it's, what did you guys call it, a rolling upgrade?
Rolling upgrade, zero downtime. You hear different terms getting
through. So now you are able to basically change over the site without taking it down.
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
It makes it a lot more work, but it's worth it.
So it's Sunday, and people have had time to play around with it a week. There was a one little bug that we found that we fixed.
Yes, the last played time on the friends page.
What time was it showing?
It was showing times that didn't exist.
Like it was like a metric version of time or something.
I don't remember the details of the bug, but you could see like it was the 58th month of the year, that kind of thing.
Right.
Which, you know, didn't sound right.
Somebody didn't code something some place, right?
Yeah. I think that's what we call a bug.
So that's all fixed though, right?
Yep.
So we fixed that. It took a day or two. We go ahead and took care of that. The front page is nice and clean. You know, you got the inside Xbox. It's just a lot cleaner.
Now, I'm wondering, is this a bug? It shows that you have a lower gamer score than me.
No, that's actually, as you guys like to say, by design.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got 9,615 as of right now.
Oh, come on. You got to at least get past 10K.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
What should I get the next 500 points on? You know, I would like to point something out. A lot of people have been messaging me saying, hey, Major, go ahead and play the rest of the rest of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You can pick up 1,000. Hey, guys, check my gamer card. I've already played that one. Don't send me stuff I've already played.
Oh, okay. So speaking of people messaging us,
So
it's been a very interesting week for me with messages over live. So first of all, some guy decided to tell all his friends to message me, R-U-E.
Yeah, and you got pissed at me because you're like, what did you say? And I'm like, I didn't say anything.
Well, yeah, at first I'm like, where am I getting all these messages from? I finally asked one of the guys, so what's up here? And he goes, oh, so-and-so told me to do this. He said he's a friend of yours. Well, I've never heard of the guy. I have no idea who this guy is and where he put this information, why he told his friends to do this. But anyways, I got flooded with messages over that, so a lot more than I normally get. And then I'm digging through, and I try to at least glance at all my messages, but I can't always because of how many come in.
Right.
And I get one from one guy ranting at me, basically, for ignoring his messages, and this is no way to treat the community, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't have time to read every message, much less respond to all of them.
Yeah,
and don't take it personally.
Yeah, I get a lot of messages. One thing, and I try to respond to a lot of them. Sometimes I can't. People send me URLs. Guys, when I'm sitting at my console, I can't look at URLs. Okay, let's not have the discussion of put a browser on the console.
Well, that they ask you to reveal confidential data,
right,
that'll get you fired,
right,
or they want personal information.
That's
like,
right.
So what is your son's name, or where do you live?
Right. Or did you get any of those?
Because
you talked last week about how you got your son a gamer tag.
A couple of those. I'm not going to answer.
But then we get some of the cool. A lot of really great people are messaging us over live. At least me.
Yes.
Some really cool people. I played some games this week. I set up a server.
Oh, yeah, your little dedicated server.
My dedicated server. So I set up a server on this box, and let me move my equipment here, because we're sitting in my office right now recording this. And what I did is we got Games for Windows. Hold on. Got Games for Windows games. We have Halo 2 and Shadowrun, and I've got it set up. And I've been basically got a pretty high PC that I want to talk about for a second. But some people have asked me what's in the PC. So we've got an Athlon 64 dual-core The motherboard is Asus M2R32 MVP. Memory is I got 4 gig. Hard drive, I got a 320 gig Seagate in here. The video is a Radeon X1950, and the NIC is a Realtek.
That's just slight overkill for a dedicated server
right.
on the video.
So but the reason I do have this is because I'm also going to play some games on here.
Right.
So I set up the dedicated server. I got a new dedicated server gamer tag, which is my last name, HRYB, which wasn't taken.
Which, it amazes me that A, it wasn't taken, and B, that you hadn't already snagged it.
Yeah, I was like, what am I doing? So, because I had asked the community for some suggestions, and people were suggesting names that were already taken.
Sure.
So I set the server up, and I'm rotating at Halo 2 Vista. I had it running Shadowrun. I think I got it up Halo 2 Vista now. And some people have been joining and having some fun with it. The Halo 2 Vista, I'm putting a call out to the community. If you have Halo 2 Vista and you want me to, and I'm open if somebody wants to put together a playlist for the map rotation.
If they don't, I will.
I know, but I just don't want to go through and but I like I said in my post, if you send me one with shoddy snipers, I'll delete it immediately. Worst game type ever.
No, shoddy snipers is not the worst.
You love
ever.
The shoddy.
The worst one ever was coagulation pistols only.
Yeah, that was oh, I'm coming after you.
You were in that game.
Yes,
you?
I was.
It was like a year ago.
Yeah, it was
that
bad.
Was horrendous.
So don't send that either. Pistols on containment.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you want me to run your server, if you want me to run your playlist, send me major@xbox.com. I'll open it up so that it accepts the, what is it? HPL is the extension for the Halo playlists, I believe. So I'll take those. So I'm running that on my box. And also on this box, we'll talk about that in the gadget section. I want to talk about my capture card.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about the capture card. Funny story with the capture card later on. But I want to talk about what we got going on the show today. I have an interview with the guys from Project Silphid and Vampire Rain. You played some Project Silphid.
I did. It's cool. If you like good, space shooters, anything like along the lines of Wing Commander back in the day, you're going to like this game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the customization because you start getting all these different weapon loadouts, and you have the option to research different things depending on how many points you earned in previous sessions.
Yep.
Each game you earn points that you can then basically spend on the tech tree.
Right.
So you can spend it on small anti-ship missiles, anti-capital ship missiles, beam rifles, machine guns, whatever. It's pretty interesting.
So I got we got that coming up, Project Silphid and Vampire Rain. I also, Pete Hines from Bethesda stops by to talk about Fallout 3, which some new information was released today on that.
Cool.
Did you watch the trailer?
I have not watched
the trailer was out a couple months ago.
Fallout 2, Fallout and Fallout 2, good game. So I'm
but Pete did, he told me this in the interview, which I pre-recorded earlier this week. He told me that there's actually some cool Fallout stuff that's coming up for the marketplace. Like the trailer is going to be an HD on marketplace coming soon.
Nice.
He said, I asked him, but I'm like, during E3, he said no, before E3. So hopefully that'll be up this week. So Pete Hines from Bethesda is going to stop by, and then I'm going to interview somebody from The Darkness.
Cool.
Which I've been playing.
I've meant to get to that game 3 nights in a row,
right?
And something keeps getting in the way.
So I would like, here's a little tip if you're playing The Darkness, and I have to
turn the lights out, turn the sound up, clear out the kids.
Well, besides that,
okay,
that's just standard operating procedure when you're playing games.
Well, especially The Darkness.
But and this is actually from our good friend Knuckles Dawson, who gave me this tip. He saw me playing it, and he said, and I don't want to give too much away, but there's a scene where you have to go see your girlfriend. And in the scene where you see your girlfriend, you can sit and watch the movie. There's actually a movie on, like, TV.
Okay.
Watch the movie.
Is it a chick flick?
No, it's actually To Kill a Mockingbird.
Really?
And I started watching it in this, you're watching a video screen, and then it's like a little TV on it, and I'm watching. And I don't know how much of the movie they had, but it seemed like almost all of it.
Cool.
So, anyway, watch some of the movie, because you get an achievement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to watch the whole movie.
Knuckles would know that.
Right, of course he would know that. So thank you, Knuckles, for that. So someone's going to stop by, talk about The Darkness. So we got 1, 2, 3, a lot of interviews today because next week I'm not doing a show because I will be traveling to E3. I'm going down on Sunday.
Right.
And I'll be there for a week. So I will not be doing a show next week. I'll have some special stuff. When I travel, I bring my video guy with me. We tend to do a lot of video stuff for Xbox.com. And I'll be carrying a podcast of the briefing, which is Tuesday night.
Cool.
So I'll be carrying that. And, of course, we'll have a full stream of it on Xbox.com.
Of course.
And we'll also do a special. If you don't want to sit through I don't even know how long it's going to be. If you don't want to sit through the whole thing, we're going to do like a special ADD version.
That's perfect for me.
Right. You know, it's just like, you know, 10 minutes where it's highlight, 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 highlight.
And then watch, Twitch, Twitch, Twitch. Done. Right.
Next. That's, yeah. So we'll do that. So, yeah, next week, no show. So that's why I got a lot going on this week. And then later on in the show, in the special segment that if you know what I'm talking about, I have a little present for people.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so.
And I don't know what this is, but I'm a little nervous.
Yep, so I'll roll that for you. So it's a good show today. Before we get into the interviews, you got anything else you want to talk about? What else are you playing this week?
It's been a really busy week. I have not played nearly as much as I wanted to. I did get the time finally for Band of Bugs.
Which you like.
Which I'm really enjoying.
Did you listen to the interview last week? I know.
I did get to listen to that finally. Good. After, it was way late by the time I finally got to listen to it, but I did. And I finally realized, at least for me, the perfect analogy to the game.
Yep.
Because I was trying to compare it, and I was thinking about various RTSs. It's Advance Wars for Live Arcade.
All right.
It's perfect.
I'll buy that.
One thing that I have to admit that I really like that they did, I'm playing through the game. Somewhere like level 7 or 8, you unlock a gamer picture.
That's just the coolest thing ever, isn't it?
I love games that do that. And I love the gamer picture. It's the one I'm using right now.
Right.
And I wish more games would do that. I just think it's a really cool thing.
So go ahead and check out, go see E if you want to see what gamer picture has. Do you have the Ninja Bee one?
It is the Ninja Bee gamer card.
Yep. Good.
Or gamer picture.
Good. Okay. I'm just looking at the top 10 right now.
Oh.
See, we got Gears of War at 1, Rainbow Six at 2, Forza at 3, COD 3 at 4, Guitar Hero Shadowrun. Shadowrun's sitting pretty at 7. Graw 2 and Oblivion, followed by Saints Row, hanging on at number 10. Nice. Oh, wow.
Couple games moving up.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I'm sorry, so I just was pulling this up while we were chatting here, so go ahead and tell me what else you're playing.
So let's see, Band of Bugs. I got back into Doom very briefly.
Right.
Just, I was in arcade, I had played Band of Bugs for a couple of hours, and went, oh, I haven't played Doom in a while, played that for a bit. Project Silpede.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Played a little Halo 2, not much this week.
I read this wrong. Can I go over it again?
Yeah, okay. So, first of all, forget the previous statements. Yeah,
I was the wrong top 10. That was like an old one. So, it's Gears of War, Forza 2, Rainbow Six Vegas, Guitar Hero, Call of Duty 3, Oblivion, Graw 2, Crackdown, Shadowrun Demo. And there you go.
Okay.
So, that's what it is.
Still sounds about right. I hear that and I go, yeah, okay, makes sense.
You're done with Guitar Hero, aren't you?
No, I need to get back to Guitar Hero really badly because PAX is coming up.
Right.
Not only are people going to want to play it, so I'll need all the songs unlocked, but
about... You can use the cheat to do that, though.
No. No. And about 2/3 of the people coming to stay at my house are really, really good at Guitar Hero, so I don't expect to beat them, but I would like to not totally suck. So I need to get back in practice.
So if you're coming out for PAX and you want to stay at E's house, send him a message.
No,
is his gamer tag on Xbox Live.
We already have 14 house guests.
14 house guests,
and that's not counting the random people who will probably just, you know, wind up sleeping on my couch because they're too tired to go home.
I don't want to know who some of the people are. We don't want to out them at all.
They're all part of our dysfunctional internet family.
So that'll be cool. So let's see what else we got going on. Oh, you know what we should talk about? Where is it?
What?
We got to talk about Panda, who is an Xbox Live member out in New York.
Oh, yes.
Who works for Empire Coffee and Tea, sent us some coffee because we're talking about espresso.
Yes, thank you, Panda.
He sent me and you and I, he sent some Rocket Fuel. He also sent us some Killer Espresso, and it's actually called
Killer Espresso.
Killer Espresso.
Not a bad name.
So thank you, Panda, for that. He also sent some chocolate coffee beans.
Whoa. Okay, this is the first I'm hearing of chocolate coffee.
Oh, really? I forgot to tell you this?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent those to Trixie.
To Trixie.
Yeah, I didn't get any.
Okay, I was going to say, if you've got the chocolate coffee beans and I didn't get any, we're going to have a problem.
No, he sent them over to Trixie.
Okay, I can live with that.
So, speaking of which...
Trixie needs something to make her feel better.
Right.
Because did you see her blog post on Friday?
Which one?
She pulled the top 10 gamer cards from Xbox.com for last month.
Yep.
Yeah, I was ahead of her. She's not happy.
Here she is. And we're just talking about, as if on cue, we're just talking about you. E was ahead of Trixie in...
Yeah, Trixie's happy.
Here, you know, actually, you know what? Wait a minute. No, come here.
I let him be on top this month.
Hold on. You know what? I'm going to give this to you because everyone says next time Trixie comes in, you should give her your microphone so that E and Trixie can talk. So I'm going to do that right now. What do you... I don't know. I got a couple of emails, so I'm going to let you talk. just telling them about your chocolate covered coffee beans that were sent up by Panda from Panda, who works at Empire.
Thank you, Panda.
Hold on, here, you're talking.
Thank you, Panda. They're delicious. I was bouncing off the walls. I ate way too many of them.
Thanks for offering me some.
No,
I didn't get any. I got beans.
Okay, 568 9th Avenue, New York, New York. That's where you can go get them.
Nice accent.
Empire Coffee and Tea Company. And they have delightful chocolate-covered coffee beans.
What brings you in here? No one can hear me. What brings you in here?
What brings me in here is that I wanted everyone to check out the really cool thing we have on Xbox.com this month.
What? Which really cool thing?
It's Red, White, and Blue Dragon.
No, I have not seen this
yet. It's on Xbox.com. The month of July, we're celebrating American independence and Japanese games.
Okay.
In anticipation of Blue Dragon, which I think is going to be cool.
Blue Dragon is awesome.
So we've got some stuff for Blue Dragon, of course. There's a walkthrough that you can go to, and there's a preview of the game.
Cool.
We've got tips on Dead Rising. We just kind of put together a whole bunch of stuff from our best Japanese games. And then we've got Ryan wrote an article about Samurai and Ninja games, and we've got one in the works about the babes in Japanese games that should be.
There are babes in Japanese games? I had not noticed.
Extreme Beach Volleyball?
I do not play Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Fact that the dragon's holding the American and the Japanese flag. That's a nice touch.
Thanks. Yeah, we have a stellar art team.
I love the dragon, the art style of Blue Dragon. I want one of the Blue Dragon faceplates.
I wonder why the dragon has a six pack, though. Like, seriously, is the dragon doing crunches?
He's a sexy beast.
He is.
Yeah.
What else you got?
What else I have is a...
What did we end up putting on your business cards?
I don't know. What the hell did you put on my business card? I got back from Mexico, and I'm like, what? What in the world did you guys do to me while I was gone?
I had nothing to do with it.
Whatever. I heard you talking about it.
But I wasn't involved. I don't know what's on your business card. I made no suggestions.
How was Mexico, by the way?
Mexico was very, very hot and steamy. It was delightful. World Cyber Games, Pan American Championships. It was very cool. My favorite part was there was this dude down there from Got Frag that I won't name, except his name is Trevor. And he was,
Trevor will remain nameless.
Trevor was very nice and friendly, and I was sitting next to him at dinner, and then he started giving me grief about girl gamers because Vanessa PMS was picked number one in the recent championship gaming series draft. And he suggested that that would destroy the credibility of the league, that a woman was picked number one. And of course I went apeshit.
Yeah.
And I almost threw my drink in his face. So the next day, Vanessa...
After you let him kicked him out of your room.
Not on your life. The next day, so Vanessa beat Manny, who is like the number one. He's a great gamer. She beat him for the gold medal. And he came over to me. He's like, do you know what the final score was? I go, nope. All I know is Vanessa won. And he makes this face. And I go, yeah, suck on that. And he just like walked away. So, yeah.
I wish I'd seen that.
I think we're enemies now.
Ah, yes. Trixie the ever the ambassador.
Trixie has a nemesis now.
Now, when you travel to Mexico, we have a very strict rule here is that if we ever get a collect call from the federales, that Trixie's in jail, that we are not to accept it and hang up the phone.
That would never happen.
So.
No.
I didn't go anywhere near the jail. Thank you.
But tell us what happened when you went to the beach.
Went to the beach. Somebody paid me 500 pesos to go into the ocean with all my clothes on, and I did.
No, this is the funny part. The funny part is apparently this was KP told me this story. You packed so quickly, you forgot half your bathing suit.
Yeah, the bottom half, the crucial half.
Oops. Wait, okay, moving on.
That was unfortunate. Well, it was 4 in the morning when I had to leave for the airport, and of course I had left it till the last minute, and I'm just throwing crap in my suitcase, and yeah. Forgot a crucial item. I also forgot my sunglasses too, which bummed me out.
Oh, you wouldn't need those in Mexico.
I had to buy some grody little pink ones, made everything look pink. But yes, actually, I do have one more thing, Major Nelson. Right. You see his fingers, they're itching to take his mic back. And that is that we are actually giving away a trip to go to the premiere of the Simpsons movie.
We are?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And
so that's
how do I win, Trixie?
Well, E, you're not eligible to win, and neither are you, Major Poophead.
But who is?
People who live in the United States of America who are 18 or over.
Wait, is that gamer tag taken?
Major Poophead? Yeah. I don't know. I think we should go grab it.
Okay. And then send him messages and friend requests.
Yeah. So, it's going to be really fun. It's just going to be a random drawing. You just send an email with, send any information, just an email. We're going to pick one email, and then you're going to get...
No essay required?
No essay, because I'm sick of reading them. And you know what? People are sore losers. You know how many people... I got hate mail about the Xbox Dad of the Year I picked, because he has a, you know, they sent a picture of his... He has a really nice gaming setup. And people are like, well, he doesn't need the prize because, you know, he can afford... Well, that's not the point of the contest. You know, it was a good essay. His son wrote a great essay. And, you know, he has a rule in his house. You can't come and play in his kick-ass gaming lair unless you've got a good report card. It was just...
Good for
him. I know. So, you know, so I'm supposed to punish him for that? If people thought I should, you know, give the prize to, like, the saddest sob story? No, not happening. I'm sorry.
All right, then.
Like I said, I would have given it to the dad that just got sentenced to 12 years in prison if I was going to go for the sob story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how do they enter?
They enter the contest by sending an email that says Simpson Sweepstakes to xlmail@microsoft.com. And then the winner will get a plane fare for two, tickets to the premiere, and two nights in some Los Angeles hotel that I hope is not the Super 8, but you never know.
Okay.
There you go.
They get more information. Thank you. I'm going to take my mic back now. So they can just get more information up at xbox.com/community.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
If you don't know, just send XL mail, and good luck. Right?
M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Trixie. It's always a pleasure to see you. Welcome back.
Bye. Thanks for not kicking
And you're going to be down at E3 with us?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's
really
fun.
What's this us you speak of, Kemosabe?
Well, you're not going.
If two-thirds of the room are going, then it's us.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to In-N-Out Burger.
Hey!
Yeah. All right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the only way to go.
Bring me one back.
All right, so we're going to continue on with the show here now that Trixie's going to...
Bye, Trix.
...wander out of the room.
I
will say hello to Pete Hines for Trixie.
Bye.
Yeah, okay. Do we have anything else? You want me to just roll into the interviews now? Cause
let's do the interviews.
All right, so we're going to roll the interviews now. We're going to kick it off. We're just going to play these bam-bam right back-to-back because there's some good stuff here. Project Silphied and Vampire Rain. Pete Hines from Bethesda talking about Fallout 3. Brand new information out about that. And The Darkness. All right, we're going to talk about Vampire Rain and Project Silphied right now. Vampire Rain, Peter Zenowick is here. Peter, you're the head vampire.
Well, the head vampire here in the U.S. anyway.
You are.
Well, I'll take that title.
So people want to talk about Vampire Rain in the U.S. because the demo wasn't available.
Right.
So people are confused by that. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about that right now. Why was there no demo?
Well, just to lay all the cards on the table, the demo ends up not being available in the U.S. because the developers ended up not having... Like, they were focusing all their time on the game.
Shipping the game.
And so the demo itself ends up not having a full set of directions that we really need to have in it.
Right.
One of the things about Vampire Rain is some people end up approaching it thinking it's a run and gun. Well, with the right directions, with a full directions, you'll understand it's a tactical shooter.
So you didn't release it because it wasn't quite what people thought it was.
Yeah, quite frankly, you'll get your butt handed to you if you end up trying to do a run and gun.
So what is the game? People that are looking at it, what is Vampire Rain?
So it's a tactical shooter, meaning that you use stealth, you use the environment, you use you even take advantage of the fact that there's rain falling.
Really? How?
Well, so the Nightwalkers, or basically vampires evolved, have an insane, intense way of reading their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to like a bat. Okay, mm-hmm. So with the rain falling, just like how it silenced a city, when the rain falls, it silences their senses to some degree.
I see. It's helping you kind of navigate the environment and hiding under the rain, as it were.
Quite frankly, it gives you a chance.
Okay.
Because without the rain, they can sense you almost anywhere, and it's going to be near to impossible to sneak up on them to take them out.
So this is it's not a shooter. It's a called it a tactical shooter?
We're calling it a tactical shooter. It's got a little bit of the survival horror feeling to it as mm-hmm. well, because mm-hmm. as you play, I mean, the thing that really does drive me nuts as I play it is my hands literally sweat.
Right.
You know, the controller, the 360 controller vibrates as, you know, at certain points. And so in this game, if you're seen by a Nightwalker, you know, eyes flash on the screen, the controller shakes, and
it's over.
Yeah.
They're coming after you.
You just know you have to hide quickly. Right. Otherwise, you're
going to be taken out. I mean, can you run inside? Do you stand in the light? What do you do? Do you douse yourself in garlic? How do you hide from these things?
You know, maybe if there's a Vampire Rain 2, we'll have to recommend adding garlic. That'd be kind of fun. No, you end up having to slouch and get out of the line of vision. And again,
just duck and cover.
Duck and cover.
Okay.
Duck and cover. And in fact, that kind of brings up the whole idea of just the way you take them out is if you don't have the right weapon, I mean, you start off with pistols. Like,
right.
You've got it, and you're thinking, and maybe even a machine gun. You're thinking, I can take these guys out. Those aren't powerful enough.
Right.
Those basically are for taking out locks or using distraction so the Nightwalkers look another way.
So how do you kill these things?
You need a shotgun up close, right. Or even closer, a UV knife.
Ultraviolet knife.
Ultraviolet knife. So basically it's like harnessing the sun within this itty-bitty knife. Not quite as long as a lightsaber, but it'll still burn them through.
Right. So there's no wooden stake.
No wooden stake. These Nightwalkers, like I said, they're kind of evolved from vampires. They're a little bit more intense.
So there's a whole storyline. Give us a little bit of the story. I don't want to give too much away, but tell us a little bit about the story.
So the idea is you are a part of a Black Ops agent. You are a Black Ops agent.
So you're working for the good guys.
You're working for the good guys, and you have about 24 hours to go through and work your way up to the Prime Walker, the head boss, top cheese of the vampires, because basically, if you don't take him out, they'll just have the opportunity to spread the Nightwalker, the vampire community even farther.
So you have to stop this community, and it must be stopped now.
It must be stopped. You know, save the humanity.
Right, save the humanity, as it were. So there's no aliens, but there's vampires in this game.
There are. And very fierce, probably the most intense, quickest supernatural enemies you'll ever face on Xbox 360.
Okay, that's good. Now there's the campaign, which we talked a little bit about. There's also Xbox Live. There's some
Xbox Live has some cool stuff. You have the campaign, which is, you know, single player, and then Xbox Live you have you know, like the deathmatch and the capture the flame.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you have different sets of achievements you can get as well.
Yeah, tell us about some of the achievements.
See, I knew you were going to want to know all, my audience all about the achievements.
All about the achievements.
There's quite a few that are all related to Xbox Live. Probably the easiest that you can get is if you earn by scoring a headshot during Xbox Live competition. But the easiest for me, only because I'm much more of a casual gamer, I'm more into the RPGs, and this game just kicks my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's actually an achievement where if you get bit 200 times by Nightwalkers,
which is bad.
You're
basically saying
that's all over.
Yeah, basically you're saying if you die 200 times,
yes,
you're going to get an achievement. How much is that one worth?
It's actually worth 50.
50 points?
50 points.
Oh,
so, you
know, have to do that one.
There's hope for all of us with this game, is my point.
So you get rewarded for killing and being killed.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's cool. So when's it in stores?
So it ships in the U.S. July 3rd. So,
you know, very soon.
Independence Day, you got to protect our country from a whole new different set of enemies.
Absolutely. And then it's already available in Europe and Asia, right?
Europe is actually going to be about a week earlier. So in about a week or so, it's going to be shipping in Europe as well. And in Asia, I think it went out about 2 days ago or so.
Right, so that's great. So Vampire Rain, that's cool. I got to ask you before, we're going to actually migrate and talk about Project Silphid in a second, but I want to ask you your gamer tag.
Oh, my gamer tag.
Yeah.
Okay, my gamer tag is Zen Master, so it's Z-Y-N.
Uh-huh. Space Master or?
No, just all one word.
Z-Y-N Master.
All one word.
So people are going to be sending you messages as Head Vampire.
And I'll gladly receive them.
You'll gladly accept the friend's request. All friend's requests are accepted. All right. Now I want to switch over. I'm going to talk about Project Silphid with Dwayne, who's been on the show in the past. Dwayne, you kind of work on all these titles, but I want to talk to you about Project Silphid. The demo went up on Xbox Live a couple weeks ago, and it's now available. So explain to somebody what the game's all about.
Yeah, I'm kind of managing all the Japanese import titles. So Tenchu Z, Project Silphid, all good stuff. So this one is really exciting because it's from Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows they're famous for Final Fantasy,
absolutely,
Kingdom Hearts, all that kind of good
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? So you know there's going to be great animation. There's going to be great visuals, stellar visuals, actually. But this is a arcade-style space combat shooter.
arcade style space combat shooter. Okay,
can I tell you what it is?
Yeah. Okay,
it's kind of long, but the idea is that it's really approachable.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to use, but it does have complexity in that you can actually get in and find a lot more depth in the game if you want to kind of set it up that way to be more of a professional style flying style, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool about this is you're fighting through 3D space, and those of you who were around back in the day with Sega CD, you probably heard the name Silphied, as kind of the classic side-scrolling shooter. Well, Game Arts was the developer of that, and they also developed this, so Square Enix brought them on board and kind of brought it up to the next gen in a full 3D space environment. So it's really nothing else like it on the platform.
The only thing that's like it is the name.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all sorts of newness, 3D style.
So, you go in as a character, Katana. Mm-hmm. That's your lead character. He's kind of an unwilling hero. Just out of flight school as a cadet, and of course, war breaks out. He's got to deal with not only the war, but of course some conflict, mm-hmm. a big drama with Project Silphied and Square Enix coming up with a nice story. His best friend, or his former best friend, is now his enemy. And so he's got to deal with that. And also, of course, there's a great, huge villainess.
Ah.
And what kind of weapon do you think she has?
Women can be scary, so I'm sure she's got some big one.
She has got a...
Is it mind-altering?
Planet-destroying weapon.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, of course...
Death Star style?
Yeah, of course. So she's going to... She blows up a planet as an example of the power of the weapon. Right. And, of course, she's
headed toward
Earth. And we've got to protect Earth.
Protect Earth from being
blown. Katana, right? So, you're flying around in what's called a Delta Saber,
mm-hmm.
a super cool, newly designed space fighter. The game name actually comes from the design of the ship. It was a secret project by the Terran Central Government
mm-hmm.
to put together this cool new ship because they were worried about this war breaking out with the Aiden Alliance, mm-hmm. The bad guys,
mm-hmm.
and they put together this Delta Saber under their project called Project Silphied.
That makes sense.
Yep.
And so it's primarily a single player game. Of course, it's live aware, so you can see what your other friends are doing. But tell us a little bit about you. It's got 50 weapons. Now, when I downloaded the demo, I looked at it. I went through it, and I was like, "Wow, that's a busy screen. There's a lot of stuff on the heads up display."
Yeah, there is, and it's one of those things that those of you that download the demo is I recommend really going through the tutorial.
Okay.
You know, some people say the tutorial is boring and it doesn't really do anything. In this case, the tutorial is super important. It walks you through every single thing on the screen,
mm-hmm.
walks you through all the controls, so how to use your radar, how to give your commands to your squadron. You can have a wingman that you can have back you up to take the enemies off your tail. Like mm-hmm. you can say, hey, attack the guy I'm trying to target. You can jointly have
them
attack
someone else.
So you give
a little bit of direction to your crew.
Yeah, and it's really important because you can't just do it all by yourself. You actually have a squadron.
Mm-hmm.
The White Griffins is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll really help you out and push you through the game. You've got cool things like you can use your thruster. You've got multiple weapons you can shoot off at once. You actually have four places you can put those variety of 50 weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is how you kind of trick it out. Let me have Peter talk about the experience of tricking out your ride.
So you can actually you've got 50 weapons and you can strap them onto your ride.
Well, you got your choice. So as you're going through, one of the things that's a lot of fun is... You can totally geek out. I mean, you're going through, you're switching out your different weapons. You can look at it, check out the different perspectives, see how your ship's looking,
right.
And it just ends up being a lot of fun as you're playing it.
Right.
But okay. The funny thing is, I mean, a lot of it is, of course, the gameplay.
Right.
But being more of a guy who just loves the cinematics, I really enjoy the animation because when you're playing this, there's nearly an hour worth of cinematics, so you have opportunity to enjoy the beautiful Japanese animation,
yep.
and the bright colors and just the really cool storyline that's very common to Square Enix.
I also noticed there's some pretty cool achievements up here as well. They've got 24 achievements so far for a total of 1,000 points.
Yeah.
So some of these are pretty straightforward. You'll have to go through and figure those out. What you're spending some time with this game, but the interesting thing about this game that a lot of people probably haven't seen yet is it's $39.99.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of funny is I've read a few blogger lines where people are talking about how it's a budget title. I'm like, absolutely not. This is not a budget title.
Why is it $39.99 then?
Well, the whole idea, the whole rationale behind us lowering it from $59.99 to a $39.99 price point is more because of the number of people who are willing to try a space combat
right.
you know, game.
Right.
Basically, we wanted to give the most number of people we could the chance to give this game a shot.
Right.
Because too many people are reluctant. You know, like, oh, I don't know if I can pilot. I don't know. $39.99, give it a shot.
I'd give it a spin. I mean, I'll definitely give it a try. It seems like it's, you know, if you like any of those old style fly around and shoot stuff games, you know, I used to play Star Raiders when I was on my Atari.
It definitely has a nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah,
as you're flying through and you're using your thrusters and you're going against, you know, some of these huge motherships that you're
right.
going
that and you're flying the scary woman with the big planet killing weapon.
Well. Okay, she's kind of scary, but she's kind of good looking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In standard Japanese style.
Oh, yes.
So.
In standard Japanese style.
That's great. So I also want to talk a little bit about the what are the future? What are the plans for the future for this in terms of downloadable content?
So we'll actually have an exclusive for you, Larry. How's
All right.
That? So we actually will announce today that we've kind of hinted at it before, but we're confirming now that we'll actually have 6 challenge levels
okay.
that are going to be downloadable on Xbox Live Marketplace.
So the story can continue.
It's not a little bit of the story, yeah, but okay. essentially what it is so you've gone through the missions in the game, and you yep. kind of think you're hot stuff, you're a great, you know, super pilot. Well, these levels will really challenge you. They're called challenge levels for a reason, because they're bumping up the difficulty level a little bit, but they're also giving you one additional super weapon per challenge level that you can also then use once you've unlocked that in the campaign.
So I can take that back into the campaign.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
And that's going to be a cool thing.
Right.
And the other item we talked about, just, you know, light on Xbox Live support. So we're adding leaderboards for these challenge levels. So, you know, again, you think you're the best pilot out there. Now you can really put yourself up against the community and kind of put yourself head to head and see if you're at the top of that leaderboard.
So you guys can compete against, you know, online with you're not competing against your friends in the traditional sense, meaning like a death match, but you're actually competing via leaderboards.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So tell us, Dwayne, how much is that going to cost us?
You know, it's the amazing price of free.
Free downloadable content. 6 free levels.
Free downloadable content. And it's a big level as well. We're not just like, you know, one little tiny little thing. This
right.
is at 6 difficult levels that you can really challenge.
Are they all
yourself
one
with.
Download package, or are they 6 download?
All one download package.
One download package for free. The title's $39.99.
Yep. And we'll make it available a few weeks after launch. So end of July.
Early August is when it'll.
It's actually coming out in Japan just last week. So
okay.
the end of the last week there. So it's available there first because it came out earlier in Japan.
You do get to work on all the wild titles, don't you?
It's cool stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I mean, if you think about Sophie, you're looking at, you know, do you like Star Wars Starfighter? Do you like Star Fox? Do you like Wing Commander? Those are kind of the
so
experiences.
It's
that kind of style of gameplay. Yeah. And
do we have a fly around 3D shooter yet on the Xbox platform?
This is it. This is it's really a unique experience, and that's one of the cool things talking with the community is that they're really excited about this. Not only those that are kind of anime fans and like the animation, but really the experience of flying around in 3D space, whether you like to do the dogfight or you like to go against big ships and take out their radar or, you know, whatever, this is a good experience for you.
Great. Well, Dwayne, Peter, I appreciate you guys giving us a little peek into Vampire Reign and Project Silphid, both of which are coming in stores in North America very soon.
That's right. And also, Vampire Reign, you mentioned, as we're talking about downloads, we're also going to bump up the free downloads again on the Vampire Reign side. We've got 2 bonus levels for Vampire Reign.
Now, are these campaign levels or are these multiplayer levels?
They're called trial levels. So okay. in the game, there's like mission levels and there's trial levels, kind of more different experiences.
Right.
And the two in Vampire Reign, one of them is kind of a search and find items for a mission,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is seeing how good you are at the sneak kill with the ultraviolet knife.
With the UV knife.
Yep.
So that's free too.
And those will be free as well, and those will be available also in late July. So look for those for people that like the import games. We're going to reward you for taking a look at our titles and give you some great content to download.
Great. I appreciate your time. That's good news. So we got those 2 titles, free content. What more could you ask for?
I don't know.
I think
go out and play this summer, man. This is what you got.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Joining me today is Pete Hines. He's the head of PR for Bethesda. Pete, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
I have not had you on before, even though Oblivion was such an enormous title for us on the Xbox 360. So it's a great pleasure to have you finally on the show.
and glad to finally be here.
But we're here to talk about your newest title, Fallout, and some new details have just been released, and I want to talk to you about that. I've been looking at some of the descriptions and some of the screenshots. I saw that great video that you released. Tell us about Fallout from where you're sitting. What's it all about?
Fallout 3 is a big post-nuclear role-playing game. It's our attempt at bringing back this beloved and franchise that really hasn't done anything in the last 10 years, and a chance for us to make a very different kind of role-playing game that we hope folks will like and take to.
Where does it fall in the spectrum and the timeline of the other Fallout games?
It takes place about 200 years after the war, so it takes place in 2277, and it's it's about 30 years after the events in Fallout 2. And for folks who aren't familiar with sort of Fallout canon, Fallout, the world of Fallout is the world of like the 1950s and their vision of what the future is going to be like, robots and rocket cars and all that stuff. So it's a separate timeline from our. It's not the future that we have experienced or know, but it's a different timeline.
It's kind of like the 50s that we all read about that all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's sort of like Leave It to Beaver, but like Tomorrowland and then blown all to hell and then, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, they live in this post-nuclear world, but then like they really care about their 1950s hairstyle and that great like optimistic sensibility. So that's kind of, you know, a bit of what Fallout is.
We saw, you know, the trailer was released a few weeks ago, and it really looked great. I mean, it started in real close, and then it kind of zoomed out of, I think it was a crash, it was a burned-out bus, and it was really dramatic. And that really kind of showed the apocalyptic nature of this nuclear Fallout. As a gamer, what am I going to expect? So is this a first-person shooter? You know, we talked about it being a role-playing game. How do you explain it?
I mean, first and foremost, first, last, and always, it is a role-playing game. We make no bones about that. Yes, it has guns. Yes, you shoot things versus running up and smacking them with a sword or shooting them with a bow and arrow, but it is a role-playing game. It is first or third person. One of the things we've actually spent a lot of time on with Fallout 3 is working on that third-person perspective. In Oblivion, it was really just sort of there. Like, we put it in, like, hey, I just want to look at my cool character and his armor on, and then found out there was a pretty large group of folks that were playing it in third-person. So we were like, well, we probably should spend a lot more time on that if folks are going to play it on that and make it so that you can actually play it that way, because the controls were a bit rubbish in Oblivion. So we spent a lot of time on a sort of over-the-shoulder third-person view that you can zoom in or out on. But, you know, obviously lots of action, melee and guns and so forth, but at its heart, it is a role-playing game. It's a game designed to use the stats and skills of the character that you create to determine how successful you are in this world.
So what are some of the attributes that I'll be leveling up here? I mean, you know, since it takes place in the 50s, tell me, I obviously don't need my ability to mine or maybe do beaver pelting. So what are some of the attributes?
The skills are pretty true to the original Fallout game, so it focuses more on using weapons and the different gameplay styles that you might undertake. You know, your ability to heal yourself, your ability to fix things or tinker with things. It is based on the special skill system, so we have these core attributes: strength, perception, endurance, and so forth. And unlike in Oblivion or in the Elder Scrolls games that we've done, where you can really modify your base attributes a lot as the game goes along, Fallout is much more, and Fallout 3 is much more about making some pretty tough choices early in the game that really don't get changed as you go along. So you're not going to be bumping up your strength skill every time you level up as you go through. You know, you've got to make some tough choices about which of those attributes are important to you, and they're going to affect you for the rest of the game. So it's experience points based. It's not skill based as the Elder Scrolls games were. It's focused on, you know, you get experience for doing things, killing things, and then you spend that experience to increase your skills and how good you are at those, and you tag a couple of skills to be your three chief skills that you're going to focus on But it's a different system. It's a different type of role-playing game. You know, we really aren't beholden to anything we've done in previous games in Fallout 3. We want it to stand on its own and be true to what Fallout is about.
Obviously, when you shipped Oblivion on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, they're wildly successful. You guys did a fantastic job with it. What are some of the learnings that you took from that game in terms of character progression and evolvement and even storytelling, and how have you applied it to Fallout 3?
I mean, in a general sense, I'd say we've learned a lot, not just technically, because obviously doing a game of that size and scope on any platform is a pretty daunting task. But you know, there's always stuff that we find in anything that we do that we feel like we could do better or different. So, we're doing a lot of different things with storytelling, with Radiant AI, and how we use that. There was a lot of things we wanted to do with that, and quite frankly, had to scale it back a bit just because the NPCs were, they were really breaking the game. You know, you give the NPCs freedom to do sort of whatever they want, and we had to rein them back just to keep them from breaking the experience for the player. But I think we've learned a lot about how to use that system better and to put more of the behavior on the screen in front of the player so that it's more meaningful to them. Certainly a lot of things we're doing in Fallout with characters and storytelling and player choice are important for Fallout 3, because that's, a lot of what made the original Fallout game so great was these really memorable characters and tough choices that you had to make, not just black or white choices, but, shades of gray. I'm not really sure how I feel about what it is I'm doing here and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And one of the things with Fallout that helps us is the scope. Because we're, not trying to put thousands and thousands of characters into this world, we're focusing on hundreds of hundreds. That gives us a lot more time to better craft and create these non-player characters that you're going to interact with, and what they're going to be doing and saying and so forth in the world. It makes it come alive a lot more. So hopefully a lot of those lessons will manifest themselves in Fallout 3, as well as just, the different approach with it being a very different very different type of role-playing game.
In Oblivion, I had the ability to decide if I wanted to kind of, as I was going on the various quests, if I was going to be kind of good or bad. Do I have that ability in Fallout 3?
Yeah, the difference is in Oblivion, there were certainly quests where you could kind of decide how you were going to do it, but the game was much more of good and bad on a macro level. Like, here's the Mage's Guild, and, these are kind of good guys, and here's the Fighter's Guild, they're kind of good guys, and here's the Thieves' Guild, and they're bad guys, but they're kind of Robin Hood bad guys. You're stealing, but, it's almost as you feel good about it. And then there's the Dark Brotherhood, who are the really evil guys. A lot of that stuff was more grouped by factions, whereas in Fallout, it's much more in the individual quest you're going to do, and whether in that specific instance you're going to be a nice guy and help somebody out or completely screw them or shoot them in the head or whatever it is you're going to do. It's really more about how you're going to handle individual situations as opposed to I'm going to group up with these guys or I'm going to group up with these guys. You make those choices every step of the way, and you have a lot of different choices. So when you play the game through once, you can go back through and do those same quests, but play them completely differently based on the choices you make and sort of see how the game plays out, being a really good guy, being a really evil guy, or living in this area that we really like, which is the gray area where it's not so clear as to, I'm being really good, I'm being really bad, you're, neutral or skirting that line a bit more.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the weapons. Tell me about some of the weapons. It must be interesting for your designers to kind of be able to propose or introduce some maybe futuristic weapons that that always wanted to be but never were there.
Right. We certainly have a lot of the weapons from the original Fallout games in, and then we've also added a bunch of new ones. So you've got a whole range of stuff from you get a BB gun when you're in the vault and you're 10, where you first learn how to shoot. And there's, hunting rifles and Chinese assault rifles. There's this really cool weapon called the Fat Man, which is a portable mini nuclear bomb launcher.
Wow. Which
it's really insane when you see it go off. It's one of those things, particularly with guns, that we found out, which is a really great balancing thing that that is much more difficult to do with like a sword is that, you know, if you don't have bullets or little mini nukes to shoot, then that weapon is essentially useless. So it's much easier to balance like how much you're allowed to use a particular weapon or by not only degrading its condition over time, but then also how much ammo is available for any weapon. It makes it much easier to balance and not have somebody find an uber-powerful sword. You know, you may get a great weapon like the Fat Man, but if you've only got one nuke, you're not just going to be running around blowing everybody away with it. You've got to decide, like, when's the moment I'm going to choose to pull this out and nuke somebody? When am I in enough trouble that I got to use this thing? Because once I use it, I'm not going to be able to use it again until I find more
right.
more mini nukes. So, and then you also have the ability to make weapons in the game. So one of the things, you know, based on your character is you can find parts and custom build different weapons in the game that do crazy stuff, like this gun called the rocket launcher, where you can shove stuff in and shoot items out of it. So it's I think folks will be pretty excited. You know, there's a lot of stuff still to talk about and unveil as we go, but I think we have some pretty cool ideas.
Tell me about this thing called the VATS. What is the VATS?
VATS is basically our desire to do a couple things. Number one, you know, it's rooted in the origins of Fallout, which is this idea that you had turn-based combat, and in every situation you had the ability to target something or someone generally, or to stop and spend a little more time and action points, which determine how many things you could do in a given turn in combat, whether or not you want to target a particular body part. You know, we like this idea of guns and combat and role-playing, but we didn't want to have it be a fast Twitch game. We didn't want to reward people who are really good at playing first-person shooters and allow their abilities to overcome the skill of their character. So that is something where you can stop time and basically make decisions about who you want to target in combat so that you're able to target this super mutant's leg to slow him down so that he can't get as close to you as quickly with the super sledge he's trying to smash you with. And then you can try and target this super mutant's head who's got the Chinese assault rifle and try and see if you can get a critical hit and damage his vision so his aim is off as he's trying to shoot at you from over here. So you make different choices. Each move you make takes a certain amount of action points, and then you press a button and basically your character will perform those actions in sort of a quick cinematic mode, and then you go back into real time, and then your action points have to come back before you can pause and do these actions again. So it's a way to stop and pause combat, kind of see what's going on. We use it while we're playing sometimes, even when we're not in combat, just to kind of pause things and get an idea of, all right, you know, what am I going to do next? And even when you're in VATS mode, what you can see and what you can target is still affected by your character's skills. So if a creature is really far away and your perception is low, then you won't actually be able to target that creature because they're too far away for your character to be able to target them. So it's a pretty unique and interesting combat system and a way to bring guns into role-playing and have it be balanced and have it still be under the control of the player and the player's character.
Now, as I understand it, you know, you kind of, your character exists in this underground protected area, and then, you know, the character has to venture out and search and venture out into the nuclear wasteland. Is my understanding
right.
correctly?
Yeah, I mean, the way most of the people survived, or at least a lot of them, were in these underground vaults. So you'll see this character that we use a lot, this little cartoony looking guy called Vault Boy. He's sort of the mascot of Vault Tech, and these guys built these enormous underground vaults that people reserve space in, so hey, you know, when the bombs fall, go in the vaults and you'll be safe and life will be great.
So this is like your version of the old 50s bomb shelters.
Exactly, but they're these really complex things, and the vault that your character is born in, Vault 101, is a vault that has never been opened, that nobody ever leaves that vault and nobody ever gets into that vault.
So it's essentially a city unto itself.
Basically, and they've just been in this vault for 200 years since the bomb fell, and generations have come and gone. And one day, you start off in the vault and you witness your birth, and we flash you through different periods of your life. We really like this idea of And it was referenced in the earlier games, like you were born in the vault. It's all you've ever known. We were like, well, what would that be like? What would it be like if you, you know, lived life in the vault and that was the only place you ever knew, and then you had to leave it? So you flash through different periods of your life, and part of it is character creation, and you do some quests, and you get to know your father, who is voiced by Liam Neeson. And then one day you wake up, and your father is gone. He's left the vault, and you have no idea why. You're used to seeing him all the time. He's always there, and then suddenly he's gone, and you're like, well, why did my father leave? What? Nobody ever leaves. And, you know, the overseer who is, you know, in charge of the vault basically thinks that you're part of his escape, and that is sort of the jumping off point for you to figure out how to get out of the vault as well, and figure out, where did my father go? What is he up to? What was so important that he would leave me behind, his only son, in this vault to go, you know, wherever he went? So you leave the vault and go out into this world, and you don't know anybody, and you know, you've got whatever it is you managed to scrounge up and take in the vault during your time there, and you've got to go out into this, you know, post-nuclear wasteland and figure out how to survive, and where did my father go, and, you know, big open world for you to explore and stuff to go do, stories to find, quests to do, that kind of thing.
So I figure that, you know, obviously Vault 101 is probably, you know, has a very specific visual style, and having never been in a nuclear war, you know, thank God, you know, I saw some of your screenshots, so I assume that the design decisions and the look of the two worlds are dramatically different.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, the look of the vault is very much the sort of the technology of the 50s future. So these kind of futuristic, you know, it's sort of retro futuristic.
I think you called it Tomorrowland earlier in the interview.
Yeah. And you know, one of the great things, like our lead artist on the project, Yvonne Pelli, is just, he is fanatical about stuff, and he will just sit there for any machine, anything that you create. It has to have a purpose. Why is that rivet there? Why is that knob there? What does that do? Like, just the level of detail that he and his team put into everything in this world, all of these machines, and making sure that they all look and feel very realistic and true to what you would expect to see, you know, in a vault, is fantastic. And then, you know, as you mentioned, you go out into this world, and it's just blown to hell. And it's, you know, 200 years after the bombs, but, you know, the world really hasn't recovered. I mean, there's people out there who are sort of scratching out an existence, but it's not like everything has just grown back and great. It's still completely screwed. All the water is still irradiated, and, you know, you've got to figure out how to make your way in this world. Who do you want to help? Who do you want to take advantage of? You know, you find a town that's been built in the crater of an unexploded nuclear bomb, and they've taken the parts off of this downed airline carrier and built this little sort of mini fortified city around this unexploded nuclear bomb. And that's where they have chosen to, you know, live out their existence and try and make their way in the world. And so it's one of the places you can go to see, you know, hey, has my father been here? Does anybody seen him or know where he is, or that kind of thing?
Yeah, the story continues. Now, I'm really excited about this. I'm gonna swing by, and I definitely want to see this at E3, which is happening. You know, it's just around the corner for us. I want to ask you, though, how are the, you know, this, you're obviously playing it, and you're showing, I hear you're doing the demos on the Xbox 360. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, about what it's like, you know, what you can speak to in terms of developing for the Xbox 360. I know this is a simultaneous platform on the PS3 and the Xbox 360. So how do you look at that, or how does your team look at that design decision?
I mean, for us, you know, I mean, our ultimate goal is, what is the game we want to make? What do we want it to do, and then what platforms can we get it to run on, you know, the way we would envision it running? So PC, 360, PS3 are the platforms that we've identified. But, you know, for our devs, the 360 is just a good base platform for us to work off in terms of, you know, the ease of design of the architecture and the hardware and all that stuff. They simply find that that's a good one, you know, to use as a base platform, but, you know, we could technically show it on the PC if we wanted to, or the PS3, I suppose. But it's, you know, the 360 is just, you got to pick one. There's no point in trying to demo all three platforms at once.
Sure.
And so for ease of use and just our, you know, our expertise and having worked on the original Xbox for Morrowind, which was no small technical feat, and then Oblivion on the 360, we've gotten pretty good at modeling our system so that it runs well on that and subsequently runs well on everything.
I think pretty good's an understatement. You guys do great work. So.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to let you go, Pete. Before I do, I always like to ask my guests this. What's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is DC Deacon.
DC Deacon. And I assume that's standard spelling, so I'll put a link up to your gamer tag up on the podcast. Pete Hines from Bethesda, I appreciate you coming by, telling us a little bit about Fallout 3. Some new information is now becoming available, and I'm sure we'll have more stuff to look at E3. Pete, thanks so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
All right, joining me today is Jens Andersen, who's the lead designer for Starbreeze. Jens, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So you worked on The Darkness, which released this week. How does it feel to get that game shipped?
It feels tremendously good. We've been working on it for 3 years now, so getting that out of the door is a really good feeling.
And the reviews are looking pretty good. So let's back up a little bit, because you worked on one of my favorite games on the original Xbox, which was Riddick. And,
thank you very much. Yes, I worked on that one as well.
And Riddick was just a lot of fun. So for fans who played Riddick, how does that compare to The Darkness? And what have you done different in The Darkness? And how would you explain this game?
In its core, it's very much similar to Riddick in the sense that it's a seamless blend between both action and adventure. In Riddick, Riddick took place in the prison, so it made sense to have a lot of game elements in there, like the melee fighting and stuff like that. But in The Darkness, where you play this mafia hitman, Jackie Astacato, since he's a hitman, we instead focused a lot on the gunplay, and of course on the really special thing about Jackie, that on his 21st birthday, he gets possessed by this ancient demonic entity. So this gives him tremendous powers that he can use whenever he is in the dark. So it's a similar setting with the adventure and action, but the focus is slightly different. It's more fast-paced. It's more demonic and perhaps even a bit more dark and brutal than Riddick was.
Yeah, it's tough to talk about the game without giving away too much, because I certainly don't want to spoil it for anybody, and I'm only a few levels in. But as you said, you start out as Jackie, this character, and you're kind of a mob character in New York. And some of the powers that you assume of this darkness are quite interesting. Tell me about some of the darkness powers that you can kind of gain as you proceed through the story.
Sure, it's basically how it works is that whenever you find a dark area in the game, or if you create one by taking out lights around you, you can press a button there and sort of enter the darkness mode and draw power from the darkness. And this protects you and possesses you temporarily by the darkness. And it also allows you to use these spectacular powers where you can send out tentacles along walls and ceilings, or pick up this huge object and smash people with it, or even implode a whole room with people and furniture, like with you having summoned a black hole.
Yeah, I noticed that. So I'm at the very beginning of the game, and I was able to, I've got my darkness, and I've got a minion. Tell me a little bit, because people will get the minion early on. Tell me about how I can best use the minion.
Those are funny little creatures, and you will collect them throughout the game, and the game will change a lot depending on the different powers and the different darklings, as they are called, when you unlock them. And there are basically four types of darklings throughout the game. And the first one you collect is the Berserker, which is basically a melee attack guy. So you can, they are pretty autonomous creatures, but you can send them in different directions using the controller. So it's pretty smart to send them into room, and usually the enemies will draw the fire towards them, so you can go in there and use all your other powers to take out whatever is left after the darklings has done their stuff. There's also a couple of other different darklings, like the Gunner Darkling and the Kamikaze Darkling, and you unlock them throughout the game, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's really. I've sent him into a room a couple times, the Berserker, and he's had quite the time, I'll tell you. I just kind of stand outside and wait till he finishes business, and then I can go in and clean it up.
Yeah, they usually can do pretty surprising stuff as well. It's really funny, as well as the developer, because we have allowed our gameplay designers to a lot of freedom throughout the levels, so there are some special scripted sequences where docklings do stuff that you are not really aware of.
Yeah, it's really. I want to talk to you a little bit about one scene that's early on, and that's when you go to meet your girlfriend at her apartment.
Yeah.
tell us about that scene, because I'll tell you, if you watch that scene with your girlfriend, you'll be in good space. But tell us a little bit about that scene.
We really like that scene over at Starbreeze. It's the game is really dark and brutal. Game in many sense, but it's a very strong story there, and we've tried to control the pacing of the game very much to both have these really high-paced action sequences, but also slow down the pace a bit and focus on the adventure a bit more. So in this scene, which is like an hour or two into the game, you arrive to Jenny's new apartment. So Jenny is your girlfriend, and you basically for 10 minutes you just spend time with her, and she gives you a birthday cake because it's your birthday, and she shows you around your new apartment, and you sit down in the couch and just watch some TV. And it's a really good way to let the player get to know Jenny, which is important for the story, and just relax for a while before going outside in New York again and tackle all this evil that's going on around you.
Yeah, it was interesting. One thing I want to talk to you about is as you're sitting there, and again, I don't want to give away too much of the game, but one of the what you're watching on TV is To Kill a Mockingbird. What was the reasoning behind that choice of films?
You know, when we decided to have a lot of TVs in the game, it was a kind of a neat feature that we threw in there. So we've actually crammed the disc full with a lot of different content like that. There's a lot of TV series and a lot of movies, and the reason for what came in there is actually what is available as public domain. There's a lot of good stuff out there that's public domain.
Sure.
So, Kill a Mockingbird is a really great movie, so we wanted to have that in there, and it sort of suits the style, the timeless style we've decided to go with for this game as well.
I want to talk to you as the lead designer in this game. What were you charged with? Are you giving us the look of the city? I mean, New York City, everyone knows what New York City is like. Millions of people go there every year. So tell me about what your influence is as you were reading the script and looking at this game and looking at some of the designs that some of your designers had come up with. Where can we see your influence?
Actually, at Starbreeze, we have a very open design process, and me personally, I worked as the lead game programmer on Riddick, so I'm a much more technically focused person, while we have our art director and lead level designer, which is much more involved with the visual style of the game. So if you're looking for what I've been focusing on, so it's more like the darkness powers with the gunplay mechanics with sort of generic systems, trying to have good system that can be used throughout the game.
I see. So let's. I want to talk about some of that system. You know, you've got weapons. You've got you're summoning these additional powers. How did you do the balance or come up with the gameplay design and mechanics to summon the darkness and then quickly make it go away? What was some of the thinking behind that?
A lot of iteration, actually. From the comics, the comics are pretty open-ended with what the darkness powers really are. So we could basically design them from scratch, and we knew we were doing a first-person game, so trying to create powers that complement the gunplay, which was important for us. We wanted powers that it shouldn't really compete with the gunplay, but rather complement them, or trying to find a couple of powers that we can have as a base and tie that into the environment in a good way. We had to go through a bunch of different revisions before we found something that we felt was working, and then just working and polishing on that until it felt right.
Is that really what your philosophy around game design is? I mean, tell me a little bit about it, because you learned a lot from Riddick. Tell me about some of the things you learned from Riddick that you applied in this game. You know, maybe some things that didn't work in Riddick, so you changed it for this game, or maybe some things you heard from the fans.
We learned so much, of course, from Riddick.
Right.
We worked on Riddick for 2 years, and it's like going to school every day. So we learned so much, and you try to bring that over to a new game, and you, of course, give yourself new challenges all the time. One of the big things with Riddick was, of course, the choice of genre, with trying to mix adventure and action, and in Riddick's case, stealth as well. And it, that's proved out to be really hard for us to do in Riddick, and we tried to do it simultaneously so that we had all elements available on one level, and that really didn't work out. So, for example, in Darkness, we've tried to control that a bit more from the start of the development, to sort of flesh out the pacing early on to decide what style of gameplay we should recommend to a player for a specific level, and also look at the pacing more from the player standpoint of, okay, I played 3 actions levels now. Now it's time to tone down the tempo and do some submissions or whatever. And it's, we learned a lot of how to structure that from Riddick, and I think it hopefully shows well in Darkness, and also how to do that stuff in a more non-linear fashion.
One of the differences between Riddick and the Darkness is you have multiplayer. So tell me about the multiplayer.
Actually, the multiplayer is something that our team at Starbreeze has wanted to do all the way back since Enclave, our first title. We have kept the focus on the single-player campaign because it's the one that's most important for us, but we wanted to have a simple multiplayer in there, and we decided to go for just finding one specific thing that could differentiate us, and that's being able to play as one of the Darklings in multiplayer. So basically you can crawl on walls and ceilings and jump between buildings and stuff like that with a Darkling, and we've created a few game modes that's sort of dependent on that. There are Deathmatch and Capture the Flag and stuff like that, but there are also some Darkling-specific game modes, like, for example, there's a Shapeshifter mode where you, with a press of a button, can switch between being a Darkling or a human. Mm-hmm. It's a really funny strategic, tactical element, especially in, for example, Capture the Flag. If you go up to and take the flag, you can switch to being a Darkling, and suddenly you're much faster but more vulnerable. So it was sort of inspired by Quake 1 with the grappling hook, really fast and furious.
I want to talk to you about developing for next generation titles. You know, the Riddick came out; it was, you know, fantastic title for the 360. For the original Xbox. Now you've got the Darkness out for the Xbox 360 and the PS3. What was it like developing a single piece of intellectual property like the Darkness for 2 different platforms?
But of course, much harder than doing it for just one platform. I don't know. We are an independent developer at Starbreeze, so it's very important for us to try to reach as broad group of people as possible. And we intentionally try to make the game as similar on both platforms as possible. So we're not, for example, we're not using the tilt functionality of the PlayStation 3, because that would probably change the gameplay too much and make sort of the 360 version lacking something. So we're trying to keep the difference as minimal as possible.
I see. Does the same apply to multiplayer as well?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. What do you...
Of course, Live has a really good matchmaking service and stuff like that. So it's with the automatic ranking system and everything. So it helps, of course.
Sure.
But we'll see how Sony copes with that later on, as well.
It's a very, very story-driven game, and I don't think it's really fair to classify it as a first-person shooter, because in terms of there's a story and there's these ancillary darkness powers that you have. So do you think that's a fair comment to say that it's not quite a first-person shooter, it's much more than that?
Yes, actually, we usually refer to it as a first-person action-adventure, and it's a very fussy genre, probably, to call it that, but I agree totally. saying a game is a shooter is sort of defining it to be just the gunplay that's a central theme of the game, and that's not true for The Darkness. We've worked so hard on integrating a good story into the gameplay, and it's a lot of great adventure elements in there. So,
you said earlier on that you worked on this title for 3 years.
Yes.
How close are we to the vision now with what has shipped and what people are going to go buy in the store versus what you started out with? What are some of the things that maybe you had to cut or that you added on later on just to kind of round the story out?
Well, you know, when you work on something for 3 years, even your reference of what a good game is changes during that time. So they pop up new games that are really stunning in some area, and you want to bring that element over to your own game. So the vision usually grows, and especially when it's developed for such a long time. But I think actually that we all the core elements that we sort of decided on from the beginning, we've managed to keep them intact. Some of them has, of course, been iterated. We have, for example, some time-based darkness powers originally, but those sort of were modified and became the black hole that we have in there right now. But other than that, it's nothing major that really has dropped out, and we're really happy about that.
Tell me a little bit about that black hole, because I notice when I flip into my darkness powers, there's the black hole there. How does that work, and how does that impact my gameplay? How can I use this? Help me out. Give me some secrets.
Well, it's actually the last darkness power that you will receive, and the most powerful one. So it's a really great tool to from a distance be able to take out characters. You can summon a black hole. You can target a specific area and summon a black hole there, and it will, if there's enemies close by, they will be sucked into this, and also a lot of objects and stuff like that. So throughout the last part of the game, you grow even more and more powerful, and this will show on the black hole as well. So you will be super powerful in the end, and that can be really funny.
For somebody who's just getting started like myself, who literally I just got through the apartment scene, what are some of the tips you can give me and maybe some of the listeners right now to kind of help them get started, jump started to get headed in the right direction in terms of one thing I think I learned was there was a lot of guys coming after me and I spent way too much time shooting them as opposed to shooting the lights out. So I kind of focus on shooting light. What are some of the tips you can give some of the new players out there?
Well, there's a lot of tactical elements to the shooting parts, and you have a lot of tools available to you to make use of that. You have the execution kills. You, for example, you can walk up, sneak up real close to enemy characters and easily take them out. And the most important part is, of course, to keep track of the dark areas of the game, because whenever you are in the dark and are in the darkness mode, you get protected. So as long as you manage to do that, you can be pretty aggressive while you're playing. And also, of course, the game takes place in a partly open-ended New York, so you should think of it as how would you get by in New York in terms of finding your way. You get directions from different people, and there are maps all around the levels that can help you, and there are a lot of stuff to learn from the environments if you study them.
Was it hard, when you're creating a game like this where you've got an environment that you normally can kind of do whatever you want, is it hard developing for against a real environment? Because people, like I said earlier, millions of people are going to New York every year, and they expect this to be that. So is this a fantasized version of New York, would you say? Is it fairly accurate? Well, how would you describe it?
Well, it's slightly more dark and broody version of New York. We wanted to make visually make it pretty realistic, and we spent some time in New York and did a lot of photographs trying to recreate different areas like Lower East or the City Hall subways or a lot of different areas of New York to trying to capture the feel of it more than capture the sort of layout or...
Yeah, I maybe people don't know this, but you're not from New York.
No, we're back from a backwater country, you know, back far, far away in Sweden where it's always dark.
So, but you're telling me is you spent some time in New York. What was your favorite part when you went to New York? What's your favorite part of the city?
I've only been around Manhattan in New York, but I really love that city. It's a really great atmosphere there, and I really love the atmosphere. And you know, you see a lot of stuff in movies with like smoke coming up from the subway grating and stuff like that. And you really don't think it's like that. You think it's something they created in the movies, but you get really surprised when you get there, and so much of that is actually there. It's a really atmospheric environment.
Yeah, of course, the one thing you won't get through in the game is that kind of depending upon what time of the year you go. If it's summer, then there's a certain smell of the city as well, which is part of the,
I haven't been there during the summer, so that will be a new experience for me.
Certainly will be. Anyway, well, listen, Jens Andersen, lead designer for Starbreeze, who brought you The Darkness. It's a great game. It's available now on the Xbox 360. It's also on the PS3. Are there any differences between the PS3 version and the Xbox version?
There are some small differences, but we've intentionally tried to keep them as similar as possible.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. One more question. Can we give out your gamer tag?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, what's your gamer tag?
It's LERD2. It's LERD2.
Number 2. Excellent. Well, I'll make sure we send people some. Some people may contact you over live. I appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck with The Darkness.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to play The Darkness this week?
I am going to. Maybe I'm going to play it tonight. I've been trying for a couple days. Just random things keep getting in the way.
And I can't wait. I know you're a fan of the Fallout series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Fallout 3 sounds good, and it looks even better from what I see.
One of the many games on my list for, you know, the foreseeable future.
I'll see it at E3 when I'm down there, and I'm sure we'll be doing some cool stuff with that.
Yes.
So we're going to wrap it up. We're not wrapping it up.
What are you talking
about? What am I trying to do?
We're going to
name the game now. So here's this week's, last week's name the game, which E is going to pick up very quickly. Here it is.
We were just talking about it. That's Guitar Hero 2.
Guitar Hero 2, and we're going to put my hand into the into all of the correct answers received and into the hat, pull it out, and the gamer tag is Rayla, R-E-Y-L-A.
Rayla?
Rayla. Rayla. Congratulations, Rayla. You got yourself a cool headset. Not only a headset, but a Turtle Force Ear Force 1.
Turtle Force?
I keep screwing that up. Sorry, guys. Turtle Beach guys. Turtle Beach Ear Force 1 X1 headset.
There you go.
Which allows you to put your stereo and everything all in one ear, so you can play without anybody else in your house hearing you. So it's a good thing. It's a great gadget. We'll talk about gadgets in a minute.
Yep.
But last week, two things I want to point out. Last week, I gave away or solicited the opportunity for people to email me to give away a copy of what did I give away last week for the arcade game? Boy, I'm totally blanking out. I gave away the arcade game last, Band of Bugs.
Oh, how did you, right.
Yeah, gave away a copy of Band of Bugs. Please stop emailing me. I've already given it away. And I posted on the blog, too. And then the other thing we did is we talked to people and said, hey, if you've got an Xbox 101 tip, why don't you go ahead and send that to us, and E and I will look at them all, pull it out, and we'll come up with a good one. And if you win it, you'll win a copy of, where is it, The Matrix on HD DVD.
Yes.
So we went through the couple, probably about 500 that we received, and we've got the complete Matrix trilogy here. And why don't you go ahead and read off the tip, and we'll tell it who it is. Because you didn't even know this.
No. When I heard this, I was like, you're kidding. And
right.
We had to go try it because I wasn't sure it was really going to work.
Right.
But another cool feature hiding in the dashboard.
Okay.
So go to the dashboard, go to the system blade. That's the one all the way over on the right.
Right.
Go to memory.
Can you hear you doing this in the background?
Select your hard drive.
Okay, I've got my hard drive selected. Now, if you look in the lower left-hand corner, what does it say?
It says deletion suggestions.
Oh, let me do that.
Hit the X button, and it will bring up the content on your hard drive sorted by largest first.
So it's not just deletion suggestions is a fancy name for sort by largest to smallest.
Exactly. But if you're the kind of person who, you know, downloads lots of demos or
there's my
TV
Halo. Why don't I go ahead and delete my Halo 3? Because we gave that last week and we didn't even.
Right, and you haven't actually gotten around to doing it yet.
So go ahead and take those. Goodbye.
Deleting Major's Halo 3 multiplayer demo off his hard drive.
Goodbye, Halo 3
as
multiplayer
we speak,
demo.
If I can do this without dropping your controller. There we go.
So it's gone. So there you go. That's great. So we had the Matrix, complete Matrix trilogy on HD DVD for someone. And who was that?
It's Kermit 24.
Kermit 24.
Thank you, Kermit.
Green.
Green.
Like the Matrix.
Yes.
Kermit. Green.
Green.
So, Kermit, right. thank you for that. And don't send me any more. You're welcome to send me more Xbox 101 tips, but I don't have another copy of Matrix to give away.
Yeah, more tips are always good.
More tips, but
we find ourselves going, well, we've already done that one. We've done that one. But this was great, because did you know this one?
I vaguely remember it was one of the ones we shipped, one of the updates we shipped in the spring update.
Really? Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't really. I remember seeing it, but I forgot about it, to be honest with you. So well done, sure. Kermit. What else do I have in here that I want to delete?
I don't know, but you have some random person who wants to chat with you.
Right. So,
all right. Do people actually respond to random voice chat requests? I don't. That's one I don't get.
I get a lot of messages. I just need you for 5 minutes. Well, you know, send me a message.
Yeah, and if you responded to everyone who only needed you for 5 minutes,
yeah. I never get any work done. I posted on the blog this week. I was experimenting. I don't know if you saw this, with a new way of doing marketplace content.
Yes, I like it.
So it was kind of a roll up at the end of the day, because over the past, and I even put this in the blog post, in the past few years, it's almost 2 years now, the Xbox 360 has been out.
Yep.
I mean, I've been posting what's going on with the marketplace content, and we have just got such a velocity is the only term I can use to describe this. Such a velocity of content going up every single day that your team, the operations team, is putting out there. I mean,
that's the only word you can use to describe it, even though it's kind of totally inappropriate in that sentence.
Really?
Volume?
Volume's fine, but velocity? It's just things are coming out fast.
Yes, but that's...
There's a lot of content. So I've been experimenting, and I'm still, just to be clear.
Okay. Velocity.
I'm still going to post, game demos and things that I think are big. I think I have a pretty good sense of what's going on there, game demos and trailers and whatnot. But then I'm thinking, like, at the end of the day, kind of do a roll up. Here's everything that's kind of what went up today.
Yeah. I like that a lot better than trying to filter through the huge volume of posts.
The velocity.
Right. Yes. Major velocity, Nelson.
So I'm experimenting with that, and a lot of feedback on that. Doing a couple other things. I put a poll up. I have to go back and take a look and see what the poll says, but a lot of people was kind of split, maybe 60-40 doing it once a day. But I really truly believe that some of the demos and some of this stuff that we're putting out there really need their own post.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know Joystick and Kotaku and a bunch of the other blogs like to link to a post that has the information right there as opposed to somewhere right. down.
And if we were going to talk about something big, it makes sense. And right. one place to put the comments and all that stuff.
Right. So anyway, thank you for everybody's feedback on that. You know, the blog that the blog is kind of it's a community tool. I want to take your feedback, do as much as I can with it. One thing, Lithion's working on a couple of tools for it. We're trying to make it a mobile browsable version.
That'd be nice. So Windows Mobile 6 friendly, please.
Right. Or anything. Or iPhone friendly. We'll talk about the iPhone later.
Okay. I did not wait in line.
Yeah, nor did I. So working on a couple things for the blog, trying to move some things around, but you know, we still got some work to do. But it's a collaborative effort, much like the internet today. It is a collaborative effort.
It's a bunch of tubes.
What is
the internet? So that means your blog is a bunch of tubes.
The internet is a bunch of tubes.
Where have you been? Did you also miss like Lolcats and Can I Has Cheeseburger?
You're funny, E.
I get some weird things in IM sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, well, you know, should we roll funky in?
Let's roll funky in. Xbox 101
with Major Nelson. You know what?
We should have rolled him in before we did it. There's a holiday coming up, right? Because I think we
should have rolled funky in already. We already did that. As soon as I heard the music, I'm like, wait a minute, we did that already.
Yeah, but... Hi, Funky. Glad you could visit.
Yeah, thanks,
twice.
Thanks, Funky. That's, so, what was the Xbox 101 again? Go to memory and sort by items to delete.
Yes.
Wow, are we off the rails with this show?
And we have not been drinking.
No.
Yet.
So it's a holiday. The holiday is coming up as July 4th, which is a holiday for the United States.
Yes.
Independence Day. It's not for everyone else.
Well, they can celebrate.
You can celebrate it, but you're still gonna have to go to work or school. But
we get Wednesday off.
We get Wednesday, and it's kind of weird in the middle of the week because usually, and I don't know how they do it in other parts of the world, but like in the United States, most areas that I'm aware of, they'll have like if the holiday is on a maybe it's on a Monday or a Friday, then everybody kind of gets a 3-day weekend. But this one's smack dab in the middle of the week, so it's really gonna screw up all of next week. So are you gonna take Monday and Tuesday off or Thursday and Friday off?
I am not taking Monday and Tuesday off. I know a bunch of people who are doing that, but I am not one of them.
Look what Trixie's bringing on.
Trixie's bringing... Ooh.
Yeah. Chocolate, thank you, chocolate Trixie. Malted milk balls. Thank you.
Almost as good as, you know, chocolate covered espresso beans, which we didn't get any of because Trixie ate them all.
What is that? You're
why
didn't
what
you
is bring
that
us some of those?
It's brown. Lasagna's not supposed to be brown.
It's is it? It looks a little bit like it's trying to squish off your plate. Okay.
Are those for us? Chocolate. So let me tell the chocolate covered milk. Thank you. I'm going to tell the story of the chocolate covered.
The best chocolate covered milk.
Yeah, for some reason at our cafeteria we have the best chocolate covered malted milk balls, and it's usually you and me and Trixie and KP and a few others that will eat lunch each day.
And to be clear, they're not like the best, you know, around here. They're the best chocolate covered malted milk balls in the history of mankind.
Yeah, I don't know where these things come from. So we get them, and usually you and I will chisel through the bag.
Chisel?
What's wrong with me today? What is wrong with me?
Did you swallow a broken thesaurus?
I don't know what happened. I am completely facocked.
You need to start playing Brain Age or something.
Yeah, I do. So
blue.
We what?
Blue.
Blue.
You
blue.
Know, you know that bug, don't you?
Yeah. Red.
Blue.
Blue.
Okay.
Blue.
We've really confused people now.
And
totally randomly, speaking of blue and the Nintendo DS, they just announced this week that a Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends game is coming to the DS. I'm excited.
Should I pick that up?
It's a... Well, you don't like the cartoon, do you?
Not really.
If you don't like the cartoon, you won't like the game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, so the chocolate milk balls, we usually have these every day. So obviously Trixie's eating lunch late today, and we went down, and she brought us these up. These are good.
Sunday is Canada Day.
Where were we? So anyway, so you're not taking any next week off?
I am not. Well, I'm taking Wednesday off, but I'm not taking Monday, Tuesday off. I gotta be.
The other thing that's a little crazy out here in the West Coast, or at least in our area, is that in some towns, fireworks are legal and some they're not.
Yeah, not in mine.
So I live on the border. The town I live in, they're not. But literally, you go, I think it's three houses down, it's the next town, they're right. Legal there.
Because going in and out of my town, they've got like the signs they use to announce road repairs and stuff,
right?
Up saying fireworks illegal within city limits. It's like, yeah.
So they'll have those for sale out here, and that'll be fun next week. So next week is
they'll have road signs for sale because those are cool
fireworks.
Oh,
I've bought fireworks, or I've not bought them, but I've seen that place at the bottom of your hill.
Yeah, but that's like
that's a different town.
Depending on where you are on the hill, if you're far enough north or far enough south, you're right. In a different town.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So 4th of July is coming up. We'll have some good time to play some games.
Yes.
Oh, do you find it harder to play games when it's nice out?
A little bit. Yeah.
I do.
So whether I play games like during the day when it's nice out really depends on does someone catch me on like I am before I, you know, get up and get going. Because I can predict what's going to happen. I'm going to sleep in as long as my dogs will let me.
Right.
I'll get up, I'll be reading the paper and drinking my espresso. And if I actually, like, get going and go out, you know, maybe I'll go see a movie or go do something. But if, like, a couple of friends grab me and say, hey, let's go play, then I'm playing for the day.
I find it hard because one of my office at home where I play most of my games is upstairs. It has windows all through it, so I don't have them darkened.
Blackout blinds.
Yeah, I know. I need to get those. Mm-hmm. But then my wife says I'm in a cave, and it just gets in this whole conversation.
And then you look at her and go,
And wander back into the cave.
Yeah.
I've been saying this will be the third week. We need to play some Shadowrun.
I know. I just
I got the server set up
the last couple of weeks.
I got the server set up. I got who else wants to play? Gib Girl wants to play.
Gib wants to play. Lith wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
I think Ace was in.
And I know a bunch of other people on you know the community wants to play with us.
So. I need the practice. But the last 2-3 weeks, there's been so much going on, I have not played all that much, which is kind of disappointing.
It is very disappointing.
Not having gotten to the darkness yet bothers me, because I've been craving a really good single-player FPS experience.
Right, it's
here. I loved their last effort. Riddick was awesome. We've talked about that before. So I just need to sit down and play it.
You want to talk about gadgets?
Gadgets.
One of the gadgets.
Twist my arm.
Well, I talked to her a little bit earlier about this. I got a new capture card this week.
Yes.
So I was Twittering a little bit of this. By the way, speaking of Twitter, he's not here. Oh my God, he's gone! He's gone.
What?
So if you listen to last week's show, there was a guy.
Oh my God! His computer's gone and everything.
There's a guy across the hall from us who was watching Rumble Roses and all these other random things. And I haven't even noticed. I came in this morning and was sitting here and thinking about the show, and I look up and he's gone.
There's
his computer's gone.
His computer, the monitor, everything.
So I don't know if he heard the show, and I don't know who that is. Let's get that. I don't know who that guy was, but all of a sudden he's gone now.
Maybe he didn't actually work here.
That's really crazy. The mystery of the guy across the hall will continue.
I guess.
So I'm sorry. Oh. Go back to this capture card. So I get the capture card. I've been keeping my eye on this for a couple weeks, and it is the Blackmagic Intensity Pro. Blackmagic Design Intensity Pro. And
we've been looking for a good HDMI capture card for a while.
Right. Because there's really no way to do high-def capture without, like, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment.
Right.
Which exists someplace in here, but I don't have access to it. So I bought the card, got the card in here, and it says it's Mac or Windows compatible. So I have both in my office. I got the Mac and I got the G5 and a Windows machine, a Vista. So
so you start off with the one PC.
Right. So I start off with the one PC. Is that where I started?
You start on... Because I was coming in and out of your office as each of these steps happened.
Right.
And you started off on the slimline PC.
Right. All right. So that's right. I have a slimline PC with Windows XP on it. I pop it in, and the thing is like 4 inches above the top.
Yeah. It's not a slimline card. Not long, but it's tall.
All right. So I'm like, fine. All right. Let me put it in my Mac. So I pull the Mac out from behind the desk, and I drag it out here. I throw the lights on, and the frickin' card will not go in, and I cannot figure out why.
And this is where I come back into your office.
Right, and I've got the flashlight, and we're both down, hunkered over this Mac, which is now in pieces. And we're like, why can't I get this in?
And the card is obviously keyed wrong. It's designed to not fit in that slot.
Right. So I'm like, all right, let me call Blackmagic Design.
Oh, wait. You looked in the manual.
Right. So I didn't have the manual, so I go to Apple.com, download the PDF, the specs for the G5 that I have, which is an older G5, and they say, PCI Express. I'm like, okay, look, we're reading it. It says right here. We're looking at this thing, but it's not right here. So I call Blackmagic Design, very nice guy, picks up the phone, explaining to him, he says, yeah, they had a couple of hardware revisions with the G5. So they ship some with PCI cards, some with PCIX, some with PCI Express. You obviously have the PCI cards. I'm like, and this is a PCI Express capture card.
Oops.
Okay, thanks. So I'm like, all right, nothing I can do. So I put the Mac back together, slide it under the desk. Get this gaming PC that I just read the specs for earlier in the show.
Right.
That I'm running my server on. And I pull that out, and I drop it in, and the thing goes, no problem, goes in. I download. They have Vista drivers, which is
cool.
Cool. They have Vista drivers. And ease in here. I got the Elite hooked up. I pop it in, turn it on. I've got no image. I went, 4 hours without any images. I'm like, what's going on? It has this little breakout cable for a component, and, the audio and the video. We put in the breakout. It's wrong. I'm like, I cannot get this thing working.
HDMI. You were trying everything.
We tried everything. So we go to lunch.
Well, mostly you. I just came in, checked, laughed every once in a while.
We go to lunch. We eat the chocolate malted balls. We come back.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, let me call this guy again. So I call the support. Clearly, it's a small company because I get the same guy.
Yeah,
I get the same guy.
He may be support for
right. So I'm like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. He says, first of all, let's go into the control panel. And I'm like, control panel? What do I need to go in there for? He's like, well, there's a control panel app that you need to open up. I said, wait a minute. You don't have this anywhere on your website at blackmagicdesign.com. You have nowhere in the manual, which is this little manual. You might want to. So sure enough, I go into the control panel, double click on it, and it says choose input. I choose input, HDMI, bing! It pops right in. I was like, you guys may want to add that to some of your documentation because that's kind of a critical step that you added. It's great that you added a control panel, but the fact that you didn't tell me kind of sucks.
Yeah.
The other thing that was kind of weird was that on the back of this card...
Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
There's HDMI in and HDMI out, but they're not labeled.
Right.
So he's like, oh, yeah, the one closest to this is... I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, but now that it's working, it's gorgeous. The screenshots are amazing.
Yeah, so we captured the video. You saw that the video we captured was gorgeous. The PC, even though it's a high-end PC, you can't really play and capture at the same time.
Yeah, the data stream is so high.
Yeah, I mean this is, there's
10 seconds of video is 900 megs or something.
I can tell you
like
right
that?
Now, let's go over to it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was about 900 megs that and there it is right there. It was about 900 megs that there's a couple of compression settings, and it's Blackmagic Design. It's called the Intensity Pro. So go ahead and take a look at that if you want to see what I'm talking about. But the video that we shot, which was just, what was the video that we shot?
It was the intro to the darkness, wasn't it?
Right, it's the intro to the darkness. So this is, this one is 10 seconds. I'm sorry. The first thing we did was just the dashboard.
Oh,
left, right. in the yep. dashboard blades. Mm-hmm. That was 17 seconds, 826 megabytes. That's just the dashboard going back and forth in the blades.
High res.
Then I changed one of the settings, because in the capture card you can go into preferences and you can either caption motion JPEG or uncompressed, and I'm doing 720p.
Right.
So I changed it to motion JPEG, and we got the size down for a 10 second clip down to 229 megabytes. Still kind of big.
Yeah, you know, it really makes me appreciate the save films in the Halo 3 beta.
Right.
That were like, what, 7 megs each for, you know, a multi-minute video.
So this is a great... so anyway, if you're looking for something to do high-def screen capture and grabs, this works. Here's what I didn't put on the blog. Here's the secret.
Ta-da. Okay?
Just like Blackmagic, just like they're not telling you everything, here's my secret. There's no way to do a screen capture in the application they provide. I record what I'm going to do, like 10 seconds of what I'm going to what I want a screenshot of, and then I play that AVI file back in Windows Media Player, and then I take the screenshot off of Windows Media Player.
Hey, it works.
Because if you just look at the preview, it's kind of low res, but once you actually record it and play it back, then it looks it's great. It's gorgeous.
Gotcha.
So that's the secret, if that made any sense to anybody out there. What are the gadgets? iPhone, big gadget this week is the iPhone.
I mean, there are some things that I might wait in line for. I have a hard time understanding waiting in line for a cell phone. No matter how cool it may be, it's still a cell phone.
What was the last thing you waited in line for?
Wow. That's a good question. Xbox One, maybe?
Xbox One.
I'm not sure I've waited in line for anything since then.
Did you wait in line for your DS?
No, because I got my DS... I think I got... Well, I've had multiple DSs, but I don't think I waited in line for any of those. Not the PS2. No, I can't think of anything I waited in line
for. So he's not going to wait in line for an iPhone?
No.
We'll see.
Reviews, I'm not on AT&T, which would be a problem.
Which is a mistake. So anyway, if you have an iPhone review, let us know. See what you thought. I put a post on this up on Friday asking for people what they thought of it. And it kind of, as usual, it de-escalated into a fanboy flame war.
Yeah, which is... It's going to be a while until I think we hear a lot of really good unbiased feedback.
Right.
Because kind of like any other product, only the fanboys are going to have it on day one.
Yeah, but what's the deal?
So,
way to go, Steve.
Yeah.
Giving everybody at Apple an iPhone. Nice work.
Yep.
Maybe you and I should go work at Apple.
No, I'm good.
Okay, thanks. Me too.
I'll see ya.
Me too. So we got Xboxes when we worked here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah,
Jay
gave us every single part. Which I put pictures of our launch box.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Those are great.
I love those faceplates.
I
wonder if their iPhones are going to look any different from every. Are they going to do something special? Like we had the special color Zunes,
right?
We had the special faceplates. That's a good question. On the 360.
What is their look like?
Are they
going
to engrave the iPhones or laser etch them or something?
Good question. Apple fans, if there's an Apple employee out there, send me an email, major@xbox.com. Speaking of that, you know, we got to go back because this entire show is completely out of sorts.
Well, your parts, yeah.
Because we did the name the game, but right. we never played the one for this week.
We should do that.
So, all right, here's the name the game clip for this week. I think you know what that is. Send me an email, major@xbox.com, and then we'll enter you into the drawing and I'll award you a prize. Whenever the next show is, show.
I need to hear that one again.
You want to hear it again?
You don't have to play it for everybody, but I'm going to have to listen to it again. I'm not sure.
So, major@xbox.com. Boy, I am just completely out of sorts with this show.
Yeah, obviously.
What other gadgets do you have?
The upcoming vacation? Or
No. I'm getting all ready for E3.
Oh, that'll do it.
I'm getting ready for E3. Hey, here's a little clue. Some cool stuff we're working on for E3. We're going to have some great coverage up on xbox.com.
Right.
And Video Monkey, who travels with me to shoot video with me, he is... We're going to be doing these surround videos. Did I send you the sample?
Oh, those are cool.
So it's basically we're going to put the camera in the middle of various places, and we can shoot a 360-degree image, and then you go up and you can hit the mouse. You know, like when you go to a realtor site or anything like that.
Right. But this is a really nice high-res 3D image.
Yeah.
Because he's taking it with a really nice Nikon fisheye lens.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
So we want to have one of backstage at E3.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, obviously one in front of the stage and all over the place. So keep an eye on xbox.com when we launch the E3. Well, the E3 page is up, but we're going to have some different stuff this year.
Cool.
What other gadgets do you have? Because then we got to wrap the show up.
Let's see. There was the 300 announcement. So 300 coming to both HD DVD and Blu-ray at the end of July.
Uh-huh.
However, it's going to have features on HD DVD it's not going to have on Blu-ray.
Like?
Which, since we're both HD DVD owners, that's a
right.
good thing.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, I'm reading here from EngadgetHD.com. There will be a picture-in-picture version of the film with pre-CGI clips alongside the finished product, a game titled Vengeance and Valor, web-enabled downloads, and an application that lets you assemble your favorite clips and create your own montage. So this is going to be on the HD DVD version, not on the Blu-ray version, but the HD DVD / DVD combo is going to cost $5 more than the Blu-ray version.
So, okay.
Curious to see who thinks that that's worth an extra $5 or not. Sounds cool to me. I'm just really happy it's coming out soon because I can't wait to see that at home on HD. It's going to be gorgeous. That's another movie like The Matrix that's just a great show movie for the format, I bet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, oh, that looked so good in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did you see that?
None.
What?
I haven't seen it.
Wait.
I haven't seen it.
You didn't see 300.
Now, you know why. I don't want to talk about why, but I didn't get a chance to go see it.
Oh, my. I saw it 3 or 4 times in theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I just didn't have... So I'll wait for an HD DVD. It'll be just as exciting with extra...
Okay.
Extra
that, I'm amazed you didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't get a chance to see it.
It was really good. What was really funny... Well, no, I probably shouldn't go there. That's probably NDA material. Never mind.
Yep, let's continue.
Yeah, moving on.
Gadgets.
Gadgets are good.
I don't have anything else. I don't know what phones I'm taking to E3.
Well, you're going to take something you can tether with.
I've got my Trio.
A nice little 3G.
My Trio running Windows Mobile 6, which I tether.
And your
maybe
Dash, I think.
Maybe a Blackjack.
You're not going to take the Blackjack and the Dash.
No, what's the Dash? The
new Dash?
Yeah.
It's the Cavalier?
I think I'm going to get my hands on that tomorrow.
Oh, I'm jealous.
So I think I may get that.
Yeah, because that's... okay, yeah. Faster device is always nice.
Right.
And that's basically the same as the Dash,
CPUs.
But faster CPU.
Right. Can you overclock these things? I bet you can.
Of course, your battery goes... not only is the battery going to go down, but keeping an overclocked device in your pocket might not be the best idea ever.
Good point. Good point. Once again with a public service announcement saying don't keep an overclocked device in your pocket.
Unless you've already
words
had
to live
all the
by.
Kids you're interested in.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Words to live by. All right, we're gonna wrap up the show. E, thanks for sitting in this week and in previous weeks. Hopefully you'll join me in a couple weeks when we have the show on again. There's going to be no show next week.
E3, yep.
Yes, because I'm going to be traveling to E3. I'll be down there. You'll be here holding down the fort. So, you know, if you're watching E3 and you get bored, feel free to message E.
Thank you.
I want to thank Centricom.net. They're providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. And thanks to CashFly for their services, where they host this show and many more like it. Available at the blog, MajorNelson.com. If you're getting this off of iTunes, check out the blog at MajorNelson.com. You have anything else you want to say?
No, I think I'm good.
Thank you, Lithion, for keeping us on track. Lithion's been working on the blog here and there.
Here and there. He's getting a lot done for just working on it here and there.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's just... He's sleeping a lot. I don't know what he's playing.
Summer vacation.
Yeah, he's working on some stuff. So, this is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson saying thanks for listening. E, you got anything else you want to say?
No, I think I'm... Ooh, there's candy in someone's office. Okay, wrap it
up. All right, that's it. End of show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint, and I will talk to you when we talk to you.
Right. With velocity.
Yeah, bye.
All right, joining me today, Ben Furneaux. Ben, did I pronounce your name correctly, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, great, Ben. So thanks for coming on the show. I'm trying to figure out how to introduce you, but you're one of the guys behind the Three Speech blog and the recent Three Speech podcast. Welcome to my show.
Well, thank you very much. That was a great introduction. I was the producer, director, kind of host of the ThreeSpeech.com podcast, which, as everybody knows, is the Sony semi-official blog. And I'm not actually a writer for the site because that's all moderated by an external source, but I've had things posted on there before, like written pieces and more recently this podcast that I did.
Yeah, it's so I want to get to the podcast in a second, but one of the questions I have for you is a lot of people have kind of scratched their head, and you know, I talk to the guys at Penny Arcade every now and then, and everyone's like, well, is Three Speech official or is it not official? So is that something you can shed some light on for us?
Yeah, I mean, from my opinion, they've been very kind of quiet about explaining it. They kind of give cryptic clues about it. I would say I'm qualified to know more about Three Speech than most people because I've been quite affiliated with it in the past. It's run by an external PR company that aren't Sony PR, but it's actually those companies are funded to run Three Speech by Sony. So really, Sony are just paying a PR company to make sure any old rubbish doesn't go out on the site. So,
sure.
Anybody can post an article on Three Speech. I'm sure, Larry, if you wanted to write something, they'd let you put it up. But first, they just want to check the grammar, make sure it's not too, I don't know, I don't want to use the word fanboyish, but
right,
too offensive towards some people. And then they put it out and see what people think of it. It's kind of all about building a community and getting discussion and
right,
debate and stuff.
Which blogs and podcasts are good for? We'll talk about the podcast in just a second. How did you get started? Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into this.
Well, I'm actually a student from the UK, obviously, by my accent. I started listening to podcasts a few years ago, mostly you and people like Leo Laporte and Hotspot on GameSpot.com.
Yep.
And I thought, do you know what? I think I can give it a stab at that. I'll give it a try. So me and a couple of my colleagues from university decided just before Christmas that we'd start up our own website. And we did a test under a different pseudonym, and now we're red-rant.com, and we kind of, our show's focused around discussion and debate and not just presenting the news, which I think too many sites are doing at the moment. We want to give our own opinions and our thoughts on how things are going in the industry. That's games and technology and music and everything, films as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, this time is so, it's just such an interesting time with all this communication, and I'm sure you're seeing it, that, you know, we're especially in the games industry, where people are putting up blogs and podcasts, literally new ones come up each week. It's kind of crazy. So it must be interesting for you as somebody who's, you know, was formerly on the outside, and I guess you're now on the inside now, aren't you?
I guess so. We've gotten quite a lot of press in the last week or so, but you know, it's very, I think a lot of sites find it very hard to springboard themselves to getting recognized. And what we found a good idea is just find your niche.
Right.
I mean, originally we started off saying, well, I mean, there's not very many British podcasters on the scene that are doing very well at the moment or producing very good shows. And we thought perhaps we could fill that gap with Red Rant.
Right. So what I want to do is, you talked about you getting a lot of press this past week. And part of the press is because... I don't know how else to put this, but I guess you kind of came after me, which is fine because people come after me all the time. And can you kind of walk me through what you said? And you don't have to. I know it's probably uncomfortable, but you know, just kind of for people who hadn't had a chance to listen to it, kind of what you did, and we'll talk about that.
That's fine. I mean, I should justify what I said. And don't worry, I've got my shovel, so I can dig myself a bigger hole if needs be. So in the Three Speech podcast, we got down to mentioning the new Sony blog, which we kind of welcomed onto the scene unofficially, and then the style of PR came up, and I mentioned that I found Microsoft PR to be quite, I think, quote myself, slimy. I've always noticed in the past that Microsoft PR has been very much like it's trying to be your best friend, and my example of that obviously was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just said that I found... sometimes that I found some of your shows could be quite adverted, you know, like I think one of the examples I used on my blog possibly was that when you did the interview with the people that made Shrek the Third,
right.
I found that, I don't know, your audience to me seems to be hardcore gamers really, or quite serious gamers.
Sure.
And that movie license game didn't seem to me like something that hardcore gamers might be interested in picking up. So it seemed like a strange choice. So to me, that seemed like maybe, I mean, I'm not accusing you of taking, you know, cash under the, like behind the podcast and stuff, but it just seemed like a strange choice. But I mean, in hindsight, it was 2 minutes of an hour long show. And I think, I mean, originally Jared Rhea, from Joystick picked up on it and described our show as a 1 hour train wreck, I think. And I don't know, I think some people weren't too keen on the accents, because specifically, I mean, we were immortalized by Penny Arcade, who did a strip about us saying that we sounded like, well, I mean, I'll let you go and see it for yourself, because I obviously have younger listeners to the show. But I mean, it was kind of a bit of a storm in a teacup, really. And the, I mean, I've noticed blogs, especially Joystick, seem to be getting quite tabloidy at the moment. And I'm guessing it was a slow news day. And
it's definitely one of those things where I've actually gotten onto the headlines mistakenly here or there for saying a couple things that perhaps have been taken out of context. What's great about this medium, what I love about this medium, is that you and I actually messaged you over Xbox Live, because you actually have a gamer tag. Can we give out your gamer tag?
Yeah, sure.
So your gamer tag is?
It's Benvio. It's capital BENVIO.
And so, you know, even though you write for the Three Speech, and you know, you do some other things, you actually have a higher gamer score than I do. You have like 12,090. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's not bad actually. I mean, it's quite interesting, because I got quite accused of shilling for Sony, which I flat out denied, because obviously I'm not being paid by Sony. I'm just a student doing this on the side, just for a bit of fun, really.
Sure.
But if you were to look at my game collection, I mean, I've got about 8 Wii games, 26 Xbox games, and only 2 or 3 PS3 games.
Right.
And I've got pretty much every accessory there is for the Wii and the Xbox. So, I mean, I'm about as unbiased as anybody out there regarding what I've purchased and voting with your wallet.
Yeah, and that's I mean, you've heard me talk about that on my show as well. I mean, I own a Wii, I own a DS, and to be honest with you, I don't want to bash Sony, because I just haven't found the compelling title for me to purchase a PS3. And that's, I mean, everyone asks me all the time. We have a couple here in the office. I make no secret of that. But I just haven't found the single, you know, one or two titles. I'm like, wow, I really got to get that, because it looks great or it's fun or so forth. You know, it's not like God of War for my PS2.
Yeah, and something I noticed, if we're talking about games, is a lot of people have said that with Sony in the past and the PlayStation 3, but I mean, I think the thing I see personally for the PlayStation 3, and the reason why I bought one at launch, is just because the future, for me anyway, for the PlayStation 3 is so bright. I mean, we're seeing a huge list of titles that are great, and quite a few of them exclusive. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a very bright future, well, for all consoles, with the Wii included as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of people, you know, I don't know how things are over there. I know you said you go to university. Is that most university students I know in America, North America, they can't afford all three consoles. So it's interesting that you're able to do that, because that's kind of, most people can only afford one console, and that's kind of the one they stay with throughout that particular cycle. So it's great that you have the luxury to afford all three.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I kind of put myself in the category of hardcore gamer. I mean, I try to pick everything up. I give everything a good shot. And interestingly enough, I wasn't actually ever going to pick up an Xbox 360. I always had my heart set on the PS3. And then it came to launch day, and I was around my local city, and I just thought, I'm going to go and see if they've got one. And they had one. I picked it up, and I was absolutely thrilled. Like, I never looked back.
Right.
I thought it was great. And I don't want to get accused of shilling for Microsoft now as well. But I mean, I'm a huge fan of my Xbox 360. I mean, if I had to ditch any of my consoles, 360 would definitely not be the one.
Right.
I mean, there's just, like you said about games, there's just so many titles on it at the moment. And, you know, there's some great exclusives coming out for the Xbox 360 this year. I'm not a huge Halo fan, but I played the Halo 3 beta and absolutely loved it, so I'll pick that up. You've got things like Mass Effect as well, which for me just looks like the most awesome game ever. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Have you taken a look at BioShock yet?
I have taken a look at BioShock, yeah, as well, and that's great. I mean, I'm starting to get a bit fed up with first-person shooters in a way, but I think that's going to really revolutionize first-person shooters this year, at least. I mean, it's guys like Ken Levine, when they bring ideas in like that, they just bring those ideas that that other publishers and other developers think, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to build that into my my first person shooter, and then they just evolve from ideas that other people have had, right. And I think that's fantastic.
So I want to get back to kind of the dust up earlier this week. You know, you're talking about how you enjoy that. You say that Sony's a little more straight to the point with their PR, and that Microsoft isn't. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I want to make sure I understand that, because I want to make sure that in the future I can be more straight to the point the best that I can, and then I can let my PR department know as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what I was saying is I've always found Sony quite, I don't know, straight to the point, whereas when they have delayed something or they've got broken promises, which they tend to do quite a lot, I mean, especially with Europe, we've had things delayed and promised to us and delayed quite often. When they do come out and say that it's been delayed, they'll say, this has been delayed, and then the next date they give usually is set in stone, and we're usually quite clear with it. Whereas I think Microsoft do the same, really. I mean, I have no complaints with Microsoft PR regarding dates and release dates and stuff. But one thing I must say I did dislike about the Microsoft PR style, and this is not related to you specifically, Larry,
sure.
But was at the Paris launch event for the PlayStation 3, Microsoft sailed a huge boat by the river by so many
right there was a lot. For those people that remember, there were pictures of the large barge that kind of quietly sailed by. I guess there were some folks in line for the PS3 during launch evening.
That's right. And they handed out chairs or something and said, you know, welcome, you a couple of years late or something like that, which, you know, I can see a funny side of that. I thought that was quite funny, but I mean, I think a lot of people could see how you might interpret that as being a bit, I don't know, slimy, I suppose. But it's funny. PR is a really, really funny area, and I think there's a lot of one-upmanship and people trying to outdo each other. And I think with a console race, there's no better place for that. I find Nintendo's place in this whole thing even more fascinating. I mean, the war doesn't seem to be against Nintendo at all. I think they've developed this kind of image of, well, everybody loves Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah, it's all between Microsoft and Sony. And I think that's true. It's completely different audiences. And like you said, I mean, you own a Wii, and I'm sure, like everybody else who owns a Wii, has been quite happy with it so far. I mean, it's the real social party console kind of thing, really, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they've done a wonderful job what they're doing. They've got some great, you know, solid first-party titles coming out. It's just what I find, and I'm curious, you know, since you're on Xbox Live, obviously, you know, we talked about your gamertag, but I find when I'm playing my Wii, I just feel disconnected from the community.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Some of the other people from the Red Ramp podcast that do, I was trying to arrange setting up so we could play this new Mario Strikers game. I said, right, so what's your gamertag on the Wii? What's the gamertag? I don't know what mine is. And they said, oh, yeah, it's numbers, isn't it? And I just remembered that they've got this friend code system thing. And I'm sure Nintendo are aware that this is a complete nightmare at the moment.
Right.
And to me, it doesn't seem. They say it's to protect miners and stuff from mixing with people, and I just it doesn't seem like a problem that needed to be solved for me. I've never heard of any there ever being any problems over Xbox Live with people being like I don't know, assaulted verbally and stuff, because it's so easy to block people on Xbox Live.
Sure.
I mean, especially like in Halo 3, how quick it is to block someone, you can just shut them up like that. It never seemed like that was a problem for me. So, yeah, the online thing at a Wii just seems like a bit of a mess at the moment for me. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're working on something to improve that in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled. You know, when Xbox Live launched, you know, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and then Sony's had a couple of attempts in the area, and Nintendo's doing stuff. I'm just thrilled that people are, you know, other console manufacturers are considering online, because it really just brings credibility to what we've done. And I'm just hoping it's going to raise the entire online gaming industry that much further when people start getting, you know, people meaning other developers and other publishers start getting more serious about it. Because it just helps everybody. Because you know what it's like, you know, when you're probably going to, after we get off this conversation, maybe you're going to go log on to Live and play with some of your mates tonight. It's just so easy, and it's so great to see what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and when I was growing up, I was always quite interested in it. And I remember trying to play some games on Windows, on Windows PC platform when I was younger, trying to play online games like Command & Conquer, and just getting very lost in IP addresses and protocols and stuff. And just, I mean, especially when you're younger, you're kind of in your 2018, some of that stuff doesn't really make very much sense to you.
Right.
And as you mature in the industry, you start to understand how things work. But I think it's just so easy for people to jump in and start playing stuff. They don't need to know what their IP address is. They don't need to know about servers. They can just jump straight in there and play with their friends. And I think that's the great thing about online on pretty much all the consoles but the Wii at the moment.
Have you had a chance to play any? I don't know if you have a Vista machine. Have you played Halo or Shadowrun on your PC?
I haven't, no. I'm thinking of picking up Shadowrun soon. I was considering the Windows version, actually, because I know a few people have got the Xbox version, and I wanted to test the old keyboard and mouse.
I'm going to tell you right now, Ben, when you get your Vista PC, you have my email address, you drop me, and I will send you a copy of Shadowrun for PC, so you don't have to worry. You get your copy of Vista, I'll take care of the Shadowrun part.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Shadowrun looks like quite a lot of fun. I mean, I was a big Counter-Strike player, so that whole hardcore kind of community thing kind of appeals to me quite a lot.
Yeah, it's. I'm happy to take care of you there. One thing I do, and I hate getting back to this, but that's why I wanted to get you on the show, you referred to me as an unnamed blogger, and I was curious about that because I try to be pretty transparent with my shows that I do and on my blog, you know, about me. It says I work at Microsoft. I mean, if you do a Google search on me, it's pretty apparent where I work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was just a stupid thing I said at the time, probably. But the reason really why I said it was that I didn't want to refer to you by name as people who might not know you from the Free Speech podcast. I didn't want them the first thing to think about when they heard, you know, Major Nelson or Larry Herb was, oh, that's that guy on the Free Speech podcast was saying what an idiot he was, or kind of like, I didn't want them to, the first thing they found out about you, if they didn't know who you were, that you were a slimy piyama, as I kind of put across.
I believe you did call me slimy, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. That was probably not the nicest thing to say.
But was it?
Go
ahead.
There's no doubt that what I said was very, very cheap. And part of it, and I will admit this now, was that, you know, we wanted to get a few more hits for the, not specifically the Free Speech podcast, but for the Red Rant podcast, which we're trying to launch at the moment. And you know what? It was a silly thing to do, but, you know, we got the hits we wanted, and I think we managed to iron most of this out at the moment. I posted something on my blog, kind of like an explanation of the Free Speech podcast and the affiliation, because needless to say, I've had Sony representatives not being too happy with me this week.
Right.
It was definitely none of their doing. It was all my opinion and speculation and rumoring, I guess.
Yeah, I don't even know if you know this, but I'm actually going into my email right now. I got an email from David Carricker, the director of communications for Sony America.
He
emailed me, and we were just chatting about something, and he just said, I want you to know I had nothing to do with that, and I said, don't worry about it. So I know, don't worry about it. Trust me, you, since you're a gamer, you've seen me, and I think Penny Arcade put it best a couple of weeks ago. You know, you've seen me get kicked in the balls a few times.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, in comments on various blogs, I've been usually the first to stick up for you. I mean, like, there's some comments that you've made that have been, like, totally under the bridge, nothing wrong with it, and people have picked up on it before, and I just think, what, this is getting ridiculous. Like, it must be a really slow news day for people to pick up on that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've obviously had a taste of the kind of the abuse that you get sometimes in this last week with some of the comments I've had.
So Ben, I want to also, you actually just talked about that a minute ago before you cut out, is that you actually posted something up on your blog, kind of a response to the internet, and the internet can be a rough place sometimes, but you've posted your response to the internet coming after you. Tell me a little bit about that.
I kind of just wanted to explain my relation to free speech and how I tried to found my comments, because 2 minutes out of a one-hour long podcast taken condensed down into, you know, like dozens and dozens of stories on different websites kind of made me look quite bad, I suppose. So I just kind of wanted to explain that my views weren't anything to do with Sony, and this wasn't to do with any pressure I'd had, just because I felt like a moral responsibility to explain why I'd said what I said and try to justify some of what I said, I think. And I think judging by the comments I received after I'd explained that, quite a few people seemed to understand that it wasn't quite such a big deal. And but come to think of it, had what I said come from an official Sony employee on perhaps the official PlayStation blog, I think there would be something to be made of that, because that would have been a direct attack. And, you know, I can't see that ever happening. But I can understand why some people who didn't quite understand the nature of free speech would find that that would be quite offensive. So I do apologize in that respect. But the views were coming from me and nowhere else, I'm afraid.
Well, I want to, in case I wasn't clear, I want to accept your apology. I know what it's like, when you're recording a show, and you guys. First of all, I want to commend you for doing a show. It's kind of hard doing a podcast. You guys put together one, and it's tough getting your first one out there. So I commend you on that one. You guys did a real good job with that. And I guess you're right. It gets back to what you said earlier about a lot of people kind of scratch their head about what free speech is, and you kind of cleared that up, and then you posted a nice thing on your blog. Now, you weren't able to post that on free speech. They wouldn't let that be posted.
I think really the best idea was to just leave it lie, because they'd had enough bad press for me that week already. So I agreed to put it up on my blog and link it off separately. I thought it was probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, and I also want to be clear is that I messaged you over live when I found your post, and then you actually separately sent an email to me. So you and I actually crossed paths. I want to be very clear with my audience that you were reaching out to me on one way, and I was actually reaching out to you on the other way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we both had the same idea. I think we both thought it was a good idea to clear the air, so to speak.
Yeah, just clear. And I consider the air cleared. And you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome to come back on the show some other time in the future if you'd like. It's great to chat with you. And are you going to continue doing some work for 3Speech, or are you going to kind of do some other stuff at your other blog?
That's in debate in the moment, because I'm kind of the sort of person that will speak my mind quite a lot, and I'm not sure if I really want to get them in any more trouble. So, I mean, if you want to continue hearing my lovely voice, you can find it at red-rant.com. And the Sony podcast, I think I'll still continue doing that, but it'll be more of a news show rather than an opinion show, which is kind of like what I prefer. But I'm trying to grow the podcast network that I'm involved in at the moment. We've got some other things that we're involving in at the moment, and hopefully there should be some exciting things coming from our way.
Yeah, great. I know that you had posted on your blog. If you guys have any questions or need any help with the technical side of it, feel free to send me a note. I'm happy to help you anything I've learned. I've done a couple hundred shows already, so I think I've learned quite a bit, and I'm happy to share anything that I have with you.
Yeah, you've become quite the granddaddy of podcasting, really, haven't you? I mean, 100 shows is a real sort of benchmark to cross, really. Yeah, I don't think many people have really done that yet.
Twit, and of course Adam Curry, who I used to work with in radio many years ago, is just spins out a billion shows a year. It's been great, because I'm able to take what I learned in radio and apply it to this medium, and I want to make sure that anybody else that's out there who's really serious, like yourself, about learning how to become a better podcaster, just in terms of content, in terms of quality, I'm happy to share anything I have. And I have a page up on my blog that kind of shows that, kind of some of the technology that I use to get my shows done. And because I really enjoy this, and I enjoy chatting with people like you about, you and I were on the line via Skype here for just like 3 or 4 minutes before we started recording, talking about the iPhone and our Macs and all sorts of stuff. So I enjoy talking to people like yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's been great to be on the show, and like I said, it'd be great to have you on our show as well eventually sometime, and if we can find a suitable topic for you to discuss, because we like opinions, so it'd be quite interesting to get you perhaps on a console war podcast or something like that, Larry.
Yeah, I absolutely would love to come on. Consider, just let me know when and where to be. I mean, it's Ben, I want to appreciate the time that you've taken to come on the show and kind of explain your position, and I wish you luck. And again, if you have any questions about podcasting, let me know. And do you want to leave anybody with any final words on you or 3Speech or anything you said?
I'd just like to send people to red-rants.com, to the podcast network that I'm trying to form at the moment. Give another shout out for the gamer tags for me and my co-hosts on Red Rant. Mine's Ben Vio again, and we've got Perfect Dark, and that's Dark with an E at the end, and Dr. K, and instead of O's, it's zeros. Add us all on Xbox Live, and you can probably beat us because we're not very good. But
what you're pretty good. You got a bigger gamer score than I do. What are you playing right now?
At the moment, I'm playing a bit of Fantastic Four, which I got sent by 2K Games, and that's actually not too bad. I quite enjoyed the film, and I'm kind of just gearing myself up to play The Darkness, which I purchased this morning. So.
Yeah, I spent last evening with that, so I think you'll enjoy that. That's definitely fun. In fact, in this show, I actually did an interview earlier on with some folks from The Darkness, so it's a fun game. I think you'll enjoy that. Ben, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Larry. Cheers.